Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Everything that you say on the job, anything else, should be just that way. And speaking of on the job, the fourth area of activity, labor. Never put yourself in position of being against the agency or the company. Always say that you are the agency or the company, because that's a trick they play on you. Oh, I hear you have a grievance against the company. See the words they use? Pay attention to all the words. What you do is say, no, I don't have a grievance against the company. I have a report of subversive activity against the company. Yeah, that's what you say. I have done it. Put it in just those words. I was called in and asked about the words. So you said subversive activity? I said, of course. I said, any injustice, of course, this, I went round robin. I waited until they asked a whole bunch of questions in front of that, and they wanted to know where would I come up with subversive activity. I said, anything that promotes injustice is subversive activity. And so I'm making a report of some unjust acts. Well, who's responsible for it? Another one. Watch that trap. Say, I don't know. That's why I'm making a report. Because you, sir, I think that you are smart enough to find out. So you always take this approach, but put yourself, bottom line, put yourself in the center of the agency or the company that you work for. If you're working for it, you are an employee. Watch how they use terms sometimes. They'll say supervisors and what? No, employees. I mean, it's right in your face. Is a supervisor an employee? Business phone calls, personal phone calls. I always said I was a person making a business call. Is that official business? I am an official. Yes, but you are just a GS nobody. What'd you say? I want to get this down. See, then you go on the offense. See, all of a sudden, if they get huffy about the words that you are using, which are scientifically constructed, then what you want to do, you want to start writing. And that's another thing that you do. When they start talking, you whip out your pad and say, wait a minute, you're talking a little fast there. I want to get this down. See, this causes them to be very careful about what they say, because they know that black people usually do everything ad-lib. You know, we got a whole lot of talk off the cuff. We think. The white supremacists write stuff down. They are the master recorders. They write down everything. They record everything. People begin to find that out more and more. Oh, you are saying something? Oh, okay, let me get what you are saying. And on the job, no such thing as a black supervisor. and stop picking on the black supervisor. Superior advisor. That's what supervisor means. No, you're going to have to deal with the real power. And always figure you're alone when you do. Because chances are you are. Doesn't make any difference about what all those other black people said about how they're going to back you up. Forget that. And don't get mad at them. Accept their help as far as they'll go. But everybody has a level of fear. And with jobs getting tight and all like that, nobody who's got a job, I mean, has been on it a little while, wants to lose it. So one thing, what Fuller's going to do, after I told you that I'm with you all the way, after I think about it overnight, and this thing is coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to start saying, you know, on second thought, you know, I'm for the brother, but the brother just messed up. See, I'm going to start rationalizing now. I'm going to find all kinds of reasons. But don't you get mad at Fuller. You just say, Fuller, we need out. And according to counter-racist logic, that's what I figured he would do. So I ain't holding it against him. I came prepared to go in there alone. And always come prepared to go in alone. Otherwise, don't go. See, we got this herd psychology. We want to look around, you know, got everybody with us. You know, got the tribe, see? Tribe is what got us on that boat. You got to think as an individual now. That's what united independent means. I want to emphasize that. United independent. Meaning you are a majority of one. You do the thinking. You be the Bill Gates of counter-racism. Just walk in and out of your own brain using counter-racist logic. Always follow the logic.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, June 24th, 2016. So I have been told. It's the 23rd. Got a day ahead of myself. Thursday, June 23rd. Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. So I have been told. This is our weekly forum on workplace racism. It is specifically designed for non-white people to exchange views, suggestions, experiences, problems, strategies for neutralizing problems on the job. Hopefully figuring out things to keep you from getting into trouble. I hope one of the benefits of this will be that I think for a lot of victims of racism, black people in particular, we start running into trouble on the job. And once things have happened, once things have gone bad, then we start trying to get information, resources, get a better understanding of the situation, going through the policy and procedure and what have you. I think we can put ourselves in a much better position, being proactive, knowing policy and procedure ahead of time, understanding that we are in a system of racism, white supremacy, and what the ramifications of that will be in any work environment in the world. Thinking about that in advance and already knowing that you are going to be under attack on your job, regardless if you work with all black people, if you work with all white people, if it's a combination of the two, whatever it is, that no employment situation in the known universe is designed for you to be cushy, to have a grand time, to move right up the career ladder, getting all the promotions and the big office until you get ready to retire whenever you want to. That is simply not set up for that. It's set up for you to have lots of grief, lots of problems, lots of stress, hopefully lots of write-ups and pink slips if racist man and racist woman have things their way, which they generally do. The number to dial, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. We'll give out the number a few more times as we proceed. That was Neely Fuller Jr. at the beginning of the program, way back. Like Neely Fuller Jr. from like 25 years ago, being consistent with some of the suggestions he offers. I do think that that one is extremely important, though, in terms of applying his concept of united independent, in terms of how we go about applying counter-racist logic, that on the job you should be thinking that from day one. And the same thing I just said, regardless of whether you work with all black people, all white people, combination of the two, whatever it is, that it is all you. Whatever help that you get from any other victims of racism on the job, that is wonderful, that is great, but I'm not going to expect it. And if at some point they say, you know what, I just can't be involved with this anymore. I have got, you know, my own children to take care of, my own career to take care of. It seems like, you know, John and Susan are looking at me funny now. I'm not getting invited to any of the lunch dates, and I'm just not messing with you no more. That is to be expected. They should not be fussed at and Samboed to death as a result of that, that is all a product of the system of white supremacy, and you were prepared to deal with this alone anyway. Huge, in my opinion, that is a critical aspect of counter-racism, and not just on the job. All areas of people activity, whether you're on the job or no, united, independent, any help you get is great. But, I mean, all of this is, hey, I am going to be looking to do this by myself. I'm just going to take it for granted that I will not have anybody there who has got my back, that I got the whole thing and I'm ready to roll. That's it. Again, Neely Fuller Jr., you can get, if anybody needs a code book, word guide, you can hit his site, producejustice.com, producejustice.com. Always great information, Neely Fuller Jr. As I've been saying before, if folks want to write in, if you have things for whatever reason, if you're not able to dial in during the live program or you're not comfortable doing that, you can always feel free to drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. And we can read it on the program. That way you can maintain anonymity if you don't want to identify your specific employer. Or if you don't want to identify yourself, all of the above, whatever the case happens to be, you can just drop in so we get a general understanding of the situation. Certainly if you have anything that has worked out well, you should be on speed dial to call in right now, so that if you can inform us of what you have figured out, that will allow us to minimize problems. If it's with other coworkers, if it's to keep folks from, you know, giving you any write-ups or what have you, make sure you get all your promotions, your raises, all that good stuff. If you have figured out what to do to minimize all those problems, you should dial in immediately. That's your counter-racist duty, to dial in and help out some other victims of racism. If you're having problems, difficulties, or just want other people's opinions and their thoughts, definitely feel free to dial in and share that as well. But again, if you can't, drop an email. We will read it on the program and, you know, do what we can. One person wrote in just within the last day or so. Share what they wrote before I hit folks who've already dialed in with a hand up. So this caller or listener said, I just started a new job after being fired. I should not be laughing. My apologies. We talked about that on the poor. But we talked about this on the program before. This person said that I just started a new job after being fired for reading Urugu on the job. That is the furthest from being funny or hilarious at all. I will just pause there to again give a reminder, because I think when we read this person's commentary before, it just, a lot of folks felt that it needed to be emphasized. You do not want to be careless on the job, thinking that for whatever reason white people are ignorant or they're not paying attention or anything like that. You just do not want to have that way of thinking if you're going to be reading material that is explicitly dealing with racism. You do not want to have Amos Wilson, Shahrazad Ali, Marimba Ani, Neely Fuller Jr., medical apartheid, Harriet A. Wash. You do not want to have these type of texts. I would really say anything, but you certainly don't want to have anything like that. Just bringing it to work, leaving it in your purse, or if you have a backpack or a briefcase or anything else that you bring to carry materials, certainly just leaving it on your desk or in a drawer, your work area, you are asking for trouble. It's been my experience, the individuals who classify themselves as white, they keep an eye, they maintain sharp vigilance on their niggers worldwide and have for decades, centuries. They are going to snoop around. If you step out to go to lunch, to go to the restroom, to make a call, to go get water, whatever the case may be, that's 5 minutes. We can snoop around and see what they're doing, what website they were looking at. Did they leave something on their desk? Did they leave something in their drawer, in their purse, whatever the case may be? And just, you know, for the repetition of it, I have had people that I know like personally where they ordered Mr. Fuller's code book. They got it mailed to the job, and whites opened their mail and then gave the excuse that the package arrived. And this is what they said. The package arrived, and it looked like some rats had gotten into it and had already chewed a hole through the packaging. So they just went ahead and opened it and looked at the material, which happened to be, again, Mr. Fuller's code book. I would discourage all of that. If you're going to read on job, read on the job, have it in an ebook format or something else. If you got to bring the book to work, I would leave it in a vehicle. I would use a book cover, something to cover it up so you cannot easily identify what the book is. And I would not talk about what I'm reading on the job with whites. Just keep it businesslike. If anything, I'm reading our policy. Did you see this on page 52 about what it says about promotions and blah, 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 and all that? Keep it focused on the job. I would not even have any of those conversations. All right, back to what person wrote in. So they were fired for reading Urugu on the job. On my new job, I'm the only black person, and all of my coworkers are white. On my first day, I was introduced to the rest of my coworkers. One of my coworkers, suspected racist, introduced herself by saying, "Hi, I'm the old B word here." I was a little bit stunned by this introduction. Once I started working, things seemed to be going well. However, I did make a few observations. Several coworkers have already mentioned to me how quiet I am. I always only try to keep conversation relative to the job. I really try not to give any information about my personal life. Also, I noticed how many times another coworker, white male, missed work. He's already missed 3 weeks of work since I've been there. I was in the supervisor's office the other day at the start of the shift. He told me that this same coworker has missed work over 60 days in the past year, not including vacation time. How this white male is able to miss that many days and still be employed is mind-blowing. None of my other coworkers seem to even complain about how many days he misses either. End of their report. And again, that's the sort of thing Mr. Fuller would encourage making note of. Document that you were told, and that's even better if you were told, if this was a supervisor or someone, that, you know, Chuck over here, you know, he's missed 60 days. Wow. Date time. Write that down. Then if it should ever come up with you or anybody else that, you know, we're going to have to let you go. You've missed so much time. Well, wait a minute now. On June 20th, 2016, you stated that Chuck has missed 60 days within the past calendar year. Is Chuck being released? And what is the reason for the difference in treatment between these two employees? Question. See, another one, you want to stay in the questioning, not making indictments, just asking questions. And they should be able to explain why Chuck can miss 60 days and, you know, this other person is about to be tossed out on the street for missing five or whatever it is. Very, very important to keep that in mind. And anytime if folks go through, just to encourage this, anytime if you find something in your policy and procedure, definitely feel free to share. But I want to encourage that because we really didn't have a whole lot of people who dialed in with things from policy and procedure. And I know last week I was able to give out my reminder, so I'll just continue to encourage that. Look through that policy and procedure. I guarantee you there will be at least one or two things that stand out in there, either because they're not being enforced or if it seems like this is a slick way that whites can practice racism if they want to get rid of some dark people on the job, or just a myriad of things that you'll see, I guarantee you. And I think it definitely benefits us, puts us in a better position if you are more informed about the environment that you're going to be in 40 hours, 30 hours a week. And then, unfortunately, if something should happen, you will already have been through that manual, so you might know some things that can help you in terms of how to deal with that. With that, we'll hit the phone lines. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate and not be bashful or shy. This is workplace racism, so this is folks supposed to sharing, so feel free to chime in. Everyone who dialed in with a hand up should be with us. Whatever commentary you have to offer, feel free. Everyone who dialed in with a hand up.
Javier.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, guys. How are you? Good evening to all. Can I be heard clearly, guys?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I had mentioned that I started a new job, and I had a racist white receptionist female. Who has been, very vocal about her political views and things. And this week I encountered another one. And earlier this week, I was covering this receptionist, and I'm working at the front desk, and this white lady who works for the HR department comes running out, and she tells me that they just caught some terrorists trying to blow up the Holland Tunnel. So I'm like, really? I look, I didn't see nothing on the, all over the news about it. But I figured, she didn't know what she was talking about. But I think this was on probably last week. So I realized, earlier this week, but I realized that these were two white people who, when they claimed to have come to New York to free someone who was being held captive in a heroin den, and they brought all these guns and bombs and drugs with them. Either way, so when I saw her today, I decided that, I'm going to play dumb, but I'm going to ask her, what happened with the terrorists who tried to blow up the world, the Holland Tunnel, because, these were white people now. I see if she still wanted to call me terrorist. So, when I talk to these people, I listen. I never give an opinion. I just ask questions. It's kind of my opinion to be asked. I ask another question, get right out of it. But either way, also want to say, New York is supposed to be this liberal enclave. So, so she tells me that, those are just some crazy guys who are, coming to free someone from the heroin den. But she got right into the shooting in the nightclub, which, she had never mentioned with me before or anything. So, that terrorist there, that had nothing to do with gay people. That had to do with terrorism. He's an Islamic terrorist. So I said, okay. So, of course, I kept saying that kind of support, And this lady who works in HR, she told me that all Muslims are terrorists, and we must build a wall. And so I asked her, I said, oh, man, so you must agree with Trump. So this is the third woman at this job who's a Trump supporter. She's saying, he's not winning with white women. I just don't see it. But just very interesting thoughts from the HR lady. I just thought it was very, and she was very free with how she spoke. And just when she's talking to me, the receptionist came back from her break, and they just got into this whole conversation. And I wish I had a microphone. I wish if I wasn't there, sure they would have talked about. I mean, they hit every group of people, you know, and they had the Chinese, and I mean, they went in. And that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Wow. That is going to be a big one, and it's only June. We still have, what is it, like about four or five months to go until the big election at the end of the year. It's going to be a lot of that on the job. And I've said that consistently. That's one that we should be thinking of codification in terms of what you're going to say. If they ask for your opinion, who you're going to vote for, what you think about this, the debates are going to be coming up, you know, down the road. Definitely something that you want to already codify how you want to respond to that on the job so that, you know, you're not caught off guard, you're not surprised, and you know exactly the words you want to employ. The folks that are with us, folks have commentary on what they heard from Thomas in New York or your own experiences you want to share?
One more thing I wanted to say was, man, there's a lot of Obama backing, and I'm kind of wondering, because the receptionist does this well, and does this to me a lot as well, you know, when she talks, you know, just when I'm sitting there observing how she does things as I'm supposed to do. She does a lot of Obama bashing, and I never, you know, try to defend them or anything. You know, I just try to keep them talking about it. So I just wonder, are they expecting me to defend them, or are they just thinking that I'm in agreement with them? Because a lot of things that they're saying, I can't imagine them saying to me unless they're trying to fail me out, you know, or if they just want to tell me where they stand right off the bat.
I suspect sometimes that's probably, I think we talked about it before in terms of racists doing things that just get us upset, get us angry, get us emotional on the job, that trying to talk bad about President Obama, I suspect that that could be, you know, trying to get you upset so that, you know, you'll feel like you have to defend him and that sort of thing. Because I think a lot of folks have said that they feel like that thing is, that type of incident is happening to them on the job. I think that could be the case. But I mean, hey, regardless of what it is, that's one of those situations where you can, I don't think you can go wrong by just listening. Interesting. I think that's a plus. You can just keep taking notes and listening and let them talk.
Yeah, that's what I did, because she started off her conversation was, you know, everything this guy does is so illegal. Do you like Obama? So I said, you know, I hate all presidents. So she started laughing. So, you know, she felt, I guess, comfortable to talk, but very interesting.
Can I be heard?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, brother.
That was for me?
Yes, sir. You can go first.
Oh, okay. As far as the conversations about present day events, I no longer have that frequency, being that I, you know, been retired from something consistent. Called a job since 2008. So therefore, I don't have that much of an encounter directly with white people. But during the time where I was employed on a consistent basis, and subject matter like that came up, what I thought to do when I wanted to engage was put my comments into a question, put it into a question that would be hard to state that I'm making some kind of speech or something, or trying to convince somebody on something. I will wait for that white person to make the comments in the conversation. Because in a fire station, the television is always on. There's books lying around of all different types, including the Bible or adult magazine. it's a environment that breeds conversation, because you're there for 24 hours. and in between going to emergency calls, there are people laying around, sitting around, lounging around, that sort of thing. Although I never felt comfortable while I was on that job, to whereas I knew I wasn't, quote unquote, home in that environment. And I looked at it as, you know, a battlefield, actually a war field, from that standpoint. That's basically how I handled it. I would, if I care to engage, sometimes I would just ignore it. Other than that, the other thing I wanted to speak on as far as workplace racism, as we all know, grooming policies affects non-white black people a lot. And I'm talking about more than just hair. A lot of jobs require some sort of uniform. And it also requires some type of way the uniform is to be worn. In some places, especially like the job that I was on, it's down to detail. One thing I had a problem with, because in and around 9/11, when they started putting a flag on everything, the quote unquote American flag on everything, and they started putting it on the uniforms. And what I would do, and like I said before in this show, I wouldn't recommend this for anybody else to do. I would go to the cleaners and have the flag cut off, and would be or with my sleeves rolled up, which is not policy, but I would be right in the midst of other people who were not abiding by the policy. You know, some of these policies are not really enforced until a non-white person or a certain non-white black person would be doing something, then they'll pay attention to it. I think I heard Gus say something similar to that earlier. They will pay attention to you. And in turn, because I was involved in a lot of things in the areas where black people were allowed to stay, this went on as far as me not wearing the flag, getting the flag cut off my uniform for years. But I was always prepared to, when somebody would come up to me finally and tell me, hey, you know, you gotta have a uniform with a flag on it. And so when that transition happened, you know, I was prepared to do it. You know, I wasn't going to fight it or anything like that, but it was just something that I was going to carry as long as I possibly could. The last thing is something that is very, very, very important to non-white black people, is being prepared for your retirement, being prepared for your retirement, knowing what your retirement package consist of, and the moment that you gain entry to a job, have the foresight to start right there preparing for your retirement. So when you do get to that stage, I mean, anything. I mean, of course, we know anything can happen. Anything can happen during the course of that time and whatnot, as far as they're concerned. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of the possibilities of it happening, you want to be prepared, because there's a lot of young non-white black people that I've seen that have actually crippled themselves financially during the early stages of their employment. I mean, something like from zero to the second or third year, they're already in debt, tremendous debt. You know, and white people who practice racism have an understanding of that high percentage, for various reasons on why it's a high percentage. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. So if you do make it to 20, 25 or 30 years, you would have the option. I'm not saying that somebody would actually retire or whatever, but you would have the option that you can basically be in a better financial situation due to correct things that you did when you were 23 years old. and now you're, you know, 50 years old. You know, you did some correct things back when you were young and first on the job. So maybe that can get talked about around, you know, in today's discussion for a while also. Okay, I'll be listening. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Heard?
Yes, sir, Roz, go ahead.
Greetings to you guys, Thomas in New York, the firefighter in Florida, and all the other callers and listeners. I wanted to say, in reference to the person who was fired for reading their book on the job, in addition to the suggestions you gave, I would say if you're going to carry any material that could be potentially inflammatory in that way, carry a small lock that you would put, like the same as you would put on luggage if you were traveling. That's what I do. I lock my bag. So that way, if I leave my desk, no one has access to my bag whatsoever. So I think that's a good way of being able to protect yourself as far as them not going into your stuff when you're not there. I also wanted to speak to, it was really interesting, in my handbook at work, they talked about people going into people's drawers and how none of those places are safe, something that you say all the time, Gus, as far as like locking drawers and things like that, and how the fact that the company will always have access to any of their property. And they also said, in reference to your own property, that they cannot protect your property from being tampered with or stolen, so that it's your responsibility while on the job to make sure that your personal belongings are protected. So that just really just led to my codification, too, just that understanding of, yeah, okay, it is my job, because if anybody touches my stuff, all, you know, all hell's going to break loose. So to make sure that doesn't happen, I keep a lock on my bag. The other thing was with what Thomas in New York was talking about, it just, to me, it just seems like she really knows her position, of the power of her position as a white female in a system of white supremacy. So her comfort in asking you those questions and making those statements really comes from her comfort in being a racist white supremacist, and understanding that regardless of what she says, even if it's something that's offensive, that they'll basically, white people, they will come together, form like Voltron, as we say, and protect one another, and her job will not be in jeopardy. And more than likely, if you were to attempt to say something in regards to what she said, they would collectively try to work towards getting you out of there. So I think her understanding of those things is what made her so comfortable in saying what she wanted to say. And it's also like almost like a dog pissing on this tree. It's like she's trying to establish her place in the hierarchy before you get comfortable. That's what it seems like to me. I had an interesting workplace experience, actually, on a phone call with a member. And this kind of speaks to some of what we've talked about in reference to Area 8, because it kind of came up just in the conversation at work, as far as how the call went down. So a lady calls in. She's calling in to look into finding a particular physician for her children. And we had given information about the physician for her to set up an appointment. She said that she went to the location after scheduling the appointment. And they have a 15-minute window that if a member is running late for an appointment, that if they come within at least 15 minutes of that appointment, that they'll still be able to be seen and there won't be any sort of penalty, because most places do charge. Some places charge like a $25 fee. Other places charge $50. But essentially, if you miss an appointment, they can bill you for it, at least give you a bill for missing the appointment. So she said she went with her son. She made it there. She was a little late, but she made it within the 15-minute window. And there was a white female receptionist that received her. She said the white female was very nasty, very cold, and told her that they would not see her, and that basically they're refusing to see her because she was late, and that they would offer her other locations that she can go to be seen, because they're not going to see her. That's what the white woman told her. So she felt really upset and disrespected, and then she left it at that moment. And a few weeks later, her husband went to the same location. He was also late, but he was later than the 15-minute window that they allot. And he was treated with respect and basically everything happened without a hitch as far as them not being stopped from seeing her child being stopped from seeing the doctor. And then she went on to say her husband was white and that she was Latina. And that she was a Latina. And she didn't think that people still thought that way and would treat her in that manner because her husband got a totally different experience than the one she got when she was actually within the 15-minute window and he was over the 15-minute window, yet because he was a white male, he got the, you know, the royal treatment. And it just goes back to just how blind people are with the Jesus Christ symbol, symbolism, whenever they look into these pale, nasty eyes and think that, that Jesus loves them, whether it's a black or non-white female with a, not with a white male or a non-white male with a white female. It's an equal opportunity Jesus moment. And the she was highly upset. She said she never wanted to deal with any other doctors at that particular facility due to the distasteful experience she had with that receptionist. She also said she knew that the doctors that were there, their services were impeccable because other doctors recommended them, and she had heard about them from other people who had gone to those particular doctors before. But simply because of the experience with that white gatekeeper, she was offended and would not return. So again, it just speaks to staying out of bed with white women, because like you say, when you have play around with sex, you know, the joke's on the offspring. And then ultimately, in every other arena you go into, in any area of people activity, you will experience what she's experienced, which is the nigger treatment. And thank you for taking my call. I'm Imola.
Fascinating. Wow. That seems like another one where there might be some discretion at play in the workplace about how they are going to enforce policy and procedure. That's word I point out consistently. Did other people, and definitely appreciate the recommendations on the locks and what have you about your personal belongings on the job, regardless of whether that's the stated policy on your place of employment. I think that's just the way that we should function, that whites are going to have access to their stuff and probably your stuff anytime they want to. So keep that in mind when you go to work, which is another reason why I encourage not having a whole lot of trinkets and knickknacks and, you know, seeming like you're going on a week vacation when you go to the job. Just have stuff with you that you need to perform your duties. Again, anything else, leave it in your trunk if you drive to work or what have you. Just try to bring as little stuff as possible with you actually to your place of employment. Other folks that dialed in, if you have commentary you would like to share, or if we haven't heard from you yet, feel free. You should be with us. Line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is the car salesman again. So I got a bunch of stuff. So there's a non-white, non-black person, a Mexican guy, I guess classified as Mexican guy. He's been working here for like 27 years, and I know this guy is like he barely can speak English or whatever. But anyway, so I was at the desk with the managers, and they happened to be talking about him trying. He was trying to get a car. So what happened was that, so he went to one manager, and then he was like, "Oh man, you're not giving," like he basically thought he wasn't giving him a good deal. So then he went to another manager, and the manager they both basically gave him the same deal. So then he went up to the general manager, and the way they were talking about it, they were like, "Dude, like, you know, we all gonna get, like, it's all gonna be the same deal." And then they were like, one of the managers was like, "Oh man, he just doesn't trust white people." And I'm thinking, like, they so quick to play the so-called race card anytime something like a non-white person does anything or just is distrustful or suspicious or anything. But if any non-white person says anything contrary to it, like accuse a white person of being racist, they automatically say you playing the race card. But they do that constantly. And it was another incident today that I thought was that was kind of funny. So today the power was out, so we really couldn't do anything. So I was chilling. I happened to be chilling in my car, like, and I guess a lot of people had left. So anyway, I was chilling in my car for like an hour. So I come back and I pop in, and this white lady, however old she is, she came in, and I guess I was talking to it's another black male. I was in the office talking to him, and he was like, freaking Yvette was like, this is a white lady, or damn, I don't know why I said her name, but this lady's name Yvette. She was like, oh man, where'd Justin go? Like, basically, like, and mind you, I don't talk to this lady. So anyway, he comes in. So she came in the office while me and the other black man were sitting there. And she says, man, I thought you were smart. I thought you had left. Like, I was like, oh man, I was wondering why you're always so antisocial. I thought it was so you can, and then I realized it was so you could slip out at any time. Now, and I'm not antisocial at work, but I just don't, it's two white females and like this other so-called Mexican guy. I really don't talk to him at all. And somehow I get labeled as antisocial, and I'm sure, like, she's probably telling people this, but I'm totally not antisocial, like, and people know this. But I think that's all I got for right now.
That's come up twice already just today, in addition to the litany of times that accusation has been lobbed at a listener over the years, where they don't talk and it's, oh my gosh, you're so quiet and you don't like us, or what's the problem, something. And in your situation, it ends up being not just that you're quiet or antisocial, quote unquote, it's you are deliberately, connivingly being antisocial so that you can slip out unbeknownst to any of your coworkers and, I guess, you know, go smoke crack in the bathroom or whatever you're doing when you have snuck away from them. Just that constant contempt and degrading that happened. I mean, this is all the time, every day, this sort of thing goes on. You could ask, just tossing it out, you could ask, exactly what do you mean when you say antisocial, but it might even be another one of those that's not even worth, you know, the effort of hearing whatever trashy response is going to be offered. But yeah, that's just standard operating procedure. I think that's also a great reminder in terms of the amount of attention that'll be paid to you, where it's always, you're never going to get the benefit of the doubt. It's always going to be the assumption that you were in violation of policy or looking to do something incorrect or trying to, you know, get over on them. That just seems to be standard operating procedure from the job. I think that's something we should definitely keep in mind often, daily, when we go to the workplace.
Exactly. And I rarely talk to, I mean, she's on my, I guess she's on my so-called team, like, we have the same manager, like, direct manager, but I barely talk to her. Like, she's worried about me. I'm, like, I don't interact, I barely interact with her. Like, she'll say something, and I just give her, like, a quick one-word answer or whatever. And I guess it's, like, messing with them that I don't talk to them. Like, it's crazy.
Not crazy. I just had that. Not crazy. That is racism. And because it's so standard, I think racists have just gotten accustomed to us just being mouth rolling, you know, 100 miles a minute, blah, 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 and most of the time talking about nothing. And just da 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 da. And when that doesn't happen, whoa, where did this nigger come from? Gotta keep an eye on this one. This is a little, just because we've heard that so many times over the years. That immediately sticks. I mean, you should know that going. If I'm not a chatty person, that's just not me. I'm not going to be engaged in all that. You should already know what's going to happen. They're going to label you out immediately, whether they say it explicitly or not. You're going to be identified. Whoa, this one is strange. Something is wrong with this one. Might have to say something about that. This might even come up in my performance review, that I'm not a team player or that I'm not social, that, you know, I'm not a part of the family or the team. I think you said that's the term that they use. Not a team player. You're not down with the team. You don't talk to us, that sort of thing. And how you're going to respond, how you're going to deal with that when it does come up.
Hey, Gus, can I speak to that real quick?
For sure.
Listening to the clip you played of Neely Fuller, reading Delectable Negro, and listening to what the brother just conveyed, that behavior as far as not being a team player and not being so-called antisocial is, to me, a byproduct of racist narcissism. I sent you an article earlier about narcissism and how narcissists, they say, get all the girls. And I think that that's really what it is. It's a highly reformed version of narcissism in a way in which they have, even with Neely Fuller, when he talked about the young black male who was shot in the back like an animal, it was the officer said, that, or the white man said, you didn't listen to me when I called you. That's narcissistic. When a person is just terrified for their life because they know they're dealing with the terrorist and they run, which is natural if you're scared, you know, you as the terrorist that's in power says to yourself, okay, nigga, you running, and I told you to come here? Okay, I'm going to shoot you down like an animal. And that, to me, like, it's a highly reformed type of narcissism that displays itself in that sort of behavior or that sort of conversation where they allude to that sort of you're not a team player, or you're being antisocial. To me, that's what it's rooted in.
I agree. I think also.
Can I hear?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was just going to comment on the that first time I heard the combination word team player was when I got employed, that was something that frequently was applied to me because I picked and chose on who I had conversations with. As I mentioned before, the nature of the job of being a firefighter, I would almost say that they had to give some room to social, quote-unquote, activity during those 24 hours. And I would say as long as it doesn't bother you to have like an average when it comes to interpersonal skills on your evaluation, which I didn't mind, it didn't bother me at all. As long as they wasn't taking any money out of my paycheck, it was all right with me. And I knew that basically that they had an understanding of who I was as a non-white black person. As a non-white black person that was serious about attempting to practice counter-racism. So they basically kind of like left me alone in a sense. And then, you know, on a job like I had, once you have enough time on the job, you can basically pick and choose on who you worked with. There was four people on the fire truck, three people on the rescue truck, and you could basically pick on who you wanted to be around. So a lot of times you have people that will actually work together for somewhere up to 20 years as a team working together. And in a lot of cases, they had contact with one another off duty from that standpoint. So the whole thing about not being a team player kind of like was cold for me from white people that, we understand on who he is as a black person. He's not like the rest of them. I put it this way, he's not like some of the ones that we prefer to have conversations with. So that was my experience on that. Thank you.
For sure. It reminded me that whole concept of team player, quote unquote, or family. That's another one. I think Renithia Tate, she talked about that when she was on the program and saying that they'll use that sort of language on the job. We're a family. Everybody who works for, you know, Acme and Corporate, we're the family. We're a family, brothers and sisters and whatever. I think that's just another element of that rhetorical ethic that they use. The team, The family is the white race. That is the only team they respect. That is the only family in the system of white supremacy. You see that operate on a job all the time. You can be fired anytime, terminated, wages cut, whatever. I mean, that's just total nonsense where they throw that out there. And again, it's the expectation. If you are a black person in particular, non-white person on the whole, you're supposed to be confused. I'm reminded of some of the commentary in medical apartheid, where they talked about how black people are so terrorized and downtrodden that anyone that's talking to them nice or seeming like they have some regard for what you say or what you think, it's just like, oh my God, we know we can make this nigger feel real important if we just talk to him nice and smile at him and invite him to lunch and tell him you're on our team. Like, oh, we got him. They will love us and do whatever they can to try to help us out and, you know, run 80 miles in a blizzard to help us, just us being nice and not treating them like they're a nigger, even though that's totally what they are. That I think they use that sort of psychology on us all the time on the job, so that we will not be suspicious, so that we'll work and slave and kill ourselves working for them when we're not going to be properly compensated or promoted or treated correctly, and just so that we're not suspicious, so that we will freely run off at the mouth and console them or listen to any stories that they want to tell. If they want to tell us all about their weekend or their marital problems or any other nonsense, and we will just attentively listen. This is my friend, and they value, I'm part of the family they care so much about, which is just total nonsense, rhetorical ethic, as I said. Other folks have thoughts they wanted to hear. Our caller dialed that, I believe, another caller from Florida who's telling us about their experiences. Other folks have commentary they wanted to share on what they've heard, or if you had your own experiences.
Hey, Dad, what you just said about that rhetorical ethic they use reminded me of Harriet Washington, what we just read about the prisoners and how the prisoners would be so conditioned to escape the violence of general population or eating lunch amongst the prisoners that they actually looked forward to being mistreated in the form of those chemical experiments, and how they would be disappointed if the experiment didn't go right. And it also made me think of my job. They do the same thing. They'll say, well, do you bleed blue? Which is basically the company logo is blue. And most of the people, you know, they always gung ho for the company. And I don't wear that product. I don't, nothing to do with that company do I do it outside of the job. And one thing I notice is that what I think they're doing that for is based on the reaction of the employees. They can tell exactly, like you said, if they have you under mind control or not. So in other words, those people who come forward and they're gung-ho for the company and they're you know, they have food, whereas the other ones who are like me and are reserved, and I do it in a sly way, so they're not fully aware, but I'm very observant, and I see how things work and how people function in the company. I'm very observant there, but I think that's what it is done to gauge the psychology of the people who they have under their control, and if you're reacting in the way that they know is conducive to you slaving for them, like you said, going out 80 miles in a blizzard, then they know that they have you. And if you're one of those people who might be more reserved, or if they think you're antisocial or non-communicative, they'll keep a closer eye on you. So that's what I think it is.
For sure. Are there folks that we haven't heard from who also were going to chime in? If you had comments or questions for what you've heard thus far, if you had your own incidents you wanted to share?
Have you heard?
Volume is a little low. If you could speak up, please.
That better?
A little bit.
You know what? Let me turn this off. Is that better?
That's an improvement. Are you still with us, sir? We can hear you. Are you still with us?
I'm hearing a lot of. You guys can hear me okay. I'll go ahead and go with my comments there.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. First off, I say good evening to you, Gus, and to the other callers, retired firefighter. I think I heard Thomas from New York. I think I heard Roz on the other caller. and everybody else that called in that's listening. I was listening to what was being the conversation that was just being you guys were just talking about the topic about the reverse kind of the reverse rhetoric, the psychology of we'll go all out for you in your face, but secretly and in our reality, we won't do anything for you. We just know that you will do that for us. You know what I mean? As you show that, okay, yeah, I'm with it. I'm a part of the team. I'm a part of the family is the language that they use. And I've experienced that, of course, at different jobs and with different encounters with white people. My mom, I think what keyed me in on that and how I'm able to, like, spot that and be kind of combat that with sarcasm. I'm not sure if I'm saying the word right, cynicism, like being cynical. But my mom, when I was young, I would get confused by my mom a lot of times. You know, she was my mom. I knew her to be who she was. You know what I mean? I seen how she was socially, how she went. But whenever she would get a call from a bill collector, whenever she would be speaking with someone from her job, or, you know, now I understand somebody in an authoritative position or in some kind of way, shape, or form or fashion, her voice would change. Her voice would change. Even kind of her pitch would change. Her delivery would change. It would become more proper. It would become more less, I guess, confrontational and just more engaging, like kind of like not cuddly, but I'm not very articulate, but I think you and the listeners can know what I'm saying. And I used to hear that. I asked her once I got older, but I understood it before I asked her. I understood that she was doing that to protect herself for a litany of reasons. And as I got older, and I, like I said, had many encounters with white people, many encounters with the plantation setting of jobs. I was built up in that way, how they were running that way. Before I became conscious, I could never be tricked by, you know, somebody non-black, somebody white telling me, you know, that they were really love me and care about me and, you know, that they would die for me and, you know, just on the basis of they love me. I think that's the reason why, because I listened to my mom do that and I realized that the world wasn't safe. And if it wasn't safe, then I needed to find out why she was doing that, but I needed to find out in my own way. I needed to ask her about it, but I needed to live through it and kind of see it for myself. And, you know, I hear it all. I get it all the time, but I know how to combat it in that way. And as the retired firefighter says, I won't recommend it to anybody because, in my eyes, it kind of puts me at jeopardy because it's a very, very strict, straight-up wall. As soon as I hear it, no banter, no further talk. It's just strictly everything serious. Everything is, you know what I mean? Or it's to chastise what I think that they're doing to me. It's to chastise them for that. I wanted to make my comment was, and it's also a question to you, Gus, and to the rest of the listeners. Have you ever experienced that? My job that I'm presently in, I explain, I'm a detail, auto detailer, and, you know, how the setting is or whatever. I recently kind of put something together that kind of sparked my interest. I've been there like 9 months, and maybe like a month and a half, 2 months into the job, I had a short check. And I was told I got the job through a friend of a friend. And I was told by that friend of a friend that you should always write down your work and start, you know, documentation. He was just telling me documentation. He said it differently, but that's basically what he was telling me. And, you know, I did it. I did it. I kept up with. I kept a chart of all my work. So I noticed that not only was, excuse me, y'all. Oh my goodness. I noticed that my check was short, and I noticed where it was short and why it was short, because I had the proper paperwork. I had my check stub. I had the amount of money I got paid, and I asked about it. And the answer that I got was, oh no, you know, maybe just the papers got stuck together, or, you know, do you when you turn your papers in, are you making sure they're all clear and not crumbled? Are you turning them in one by one into the, it's a box that we have to turn slips into for our, for our supervisor. He then comes on pickup day, picks up all the slips, goes over the paperwork, marks it into his computer, prints out receipts for all of us. He sends the receipts to the guy that owns the business, and he just simply writes checks. He doesn't see the amount of work we did, hours, none of that stuff. So this, if there's a channel, the channel is the workers, which is me and the rest of the detailers, our manager, which is a white male, our supervisor, who is a white male, who's the one that does the paperwork, and the owner, which is also a white male. So I began to notice that from that time, I began to notice that different people's, at different times, different workers' checks were coming up short. $50 here, $80 there, $20, $30 here. But I noticed that it was done. In 1 month, nobody would ever get their check hit three times. It would only be two times at the most. And most of the time, it would only be one time. But it was a rotation. It was a rotation from different people. And what I began, on outset, it looks like, you know, maybe it's just, maybe it could be human error. Maybe it could be like, make, you know, just going too fast or skipping, because there's a lot of tickets. The tickets get, it can be a lot. But I began to notice that the amount of money that was being skimmed off the checks in a month's time roughly added up to maybe like between $400 or $500, and it never exceeded that, but it never really dropped under that. And in my opinion, if something is human nature, it changes drastically. So for instance, the amount of money that was hit and from month to month would drastically change in my eyes, from maybe $500 to maybe only like $75 one month. We did good this month. Oh, the next month we did bad. Messed up $300 worth of checks in that month, you know what I mean? And I began to notice that pattern. And I wanna say, like, other things that I noticed, but I just felt the aura of what he was telling me, of what I put together, and just other things. It just didn't feel right. And of course the situation keeps going, but it just, I can't put it all the way in. And we've talked about it, me and the other details, some of us have talked about it, kept it closed in, you know, so that they don't necessarily hear what we're talking about, but they know we have a general gripe that all of us share, but they don't know the specifics of what we're saying. And I suggested, you know, maybe we should go to the Better Business Bureau, but we don't. I have the information, but I don't have it all documented. I just wanted to ask you guys if maybe you encountered a situation like that, or like, you know, how I should. I kind of know how I should handle it, but it's an ongoing situation. It's the thing about it is the turnover ratio for details at this place is pretty high. You know what I mean? Not a lot of people stay even as long as I have. So if you get hit for your check, it can be, okay, well, you might quit in the next 2-3 weeks. All right, well, that's fine. You know, when we send him his last check, we might send him something. Or then again, we might not, because it's his last check. And I don't know. Just, has anybody ever encountered anything like that? And if so, how would you deal with it? And I'll mute myself on that. Thank you, y'all.
I had a question, Gus.
Mm-hmm.
For the caller, are all of the detailers who have had their checks shorted, are they all non-white?
Yes, sir. They're all black. They're all black. And one of the guys, he's not necessarily a detailer, but he you know, he washes cars. He does everything that we do pretty much. But he's non-white. Let's just say he identifies as Puerto Rican, but he's non-white.
Because it seems like there might be somebody skimming money off from the company, and that's their pattern. And it could be possibly even the owner that's doing it. But it seems like somebody, because you're saying that the amount is so consistent, usually when people steal from the company, they tend to calculate in advance that if they steal a certain amount of money in regular intervals, how much that would tally up to at the end of the year. So it seems like it's illegal, but it also seems like it's a racially motivated. So it's a form of subjugating you financially, which is probably why the turnaround rate is so high, because people are probably fed up with having their checks tampered with. Then there's no real reprieve for it, because you have these three white men in charge of all of the non-white people who are being mistreated, and there's no reprimand for the person who's doing the stealing. I've never experienced something like that, but it definitely seems like there's something illegal going on as far as the racism, and illegal as far as theft is going on. And when they take the money out of your check, at some point do they give you what they took out or what they missed, or do they not give it to you, or do they try to skim around paying you the money that they didn't pay you?
Right. So what they usually do is the normal practice, they get on you for their mistake. You know, they say, well, did you do this or did you do that? Well, and then after that, maybe the next week or the week after that, they'll usually give you whatever money was missing, so long as you could prove that this is missing and this is where it's missing from. You know, so long as you have documentation, within a week or two, they'll give you all your money. But, you know, as I said, within a week or two, somebody could quit. So it's money that they don't have to pay back. And I agree with what you said. It just seemed like to me that it's something that they put together annually, that they do this annually, and they just mark out month by month, week by week, okay, we're going to take this much, that much. And then by the end of the year, they've gotten a certain amount. And as you said, the three people at the top are white. So it's not much. It's not much we can do as far as somebody paying for it, somebody, you know, getting in trouble for it. But you kind of feel helpless. I don't need the job, but I need the job. You understand what I'm saying? So
absolutely. It seems to me like the guy who does the paychecks has discretion. That word discretion in how they're paying you, which is why they're shorting you and the other workers. Is it possible that when you calculate your hours before you present them, like you calculate your hours and then you put the slips in the box, right? If at the end of your work period, where you know that they're calculating a check, you should maybe present them with a summary of all the work that you did and your calculations on how much money you should be getting, and let them know that you would like to start meeting with them at the time they're calculating the checks to make sure that their records matches your records, so that you're not shorted moving forward. That might be something. I don't know how, you know, if they would accommodate that or not, but I think they should be able to, since this seems to be an ongoing issue. You know, I'm putting the slips in the box on a regular basis, but this is a summary of the work that I've done, and what I have here on this summary should match what you get out of that box. And if it doesn't, then that means that I'm being shorted somewhere, or there's some discrepancy that we'll have to work out. But I would like to kind of, you know, match what I have with what you have, so that I'm getting the correct pay for the work that I'm doing. I don't know if that might help, but wow, I wish you all the best. Okay, brother?
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I take that in, and I will definitely apply that. Thank you.
I think the term that they often use to describe that sort of thing is wage theft, which can happen in a variety of ways. And out of them getting you to work hours, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, it happens in a different ways, where they're getting you to work hours where you're not going to be compensated, or figuring out a certain deceptive way to use words to make it seem like, you know, maybe you did something incorrect. Or it is reasonable, it's within policy for you to work for a certain period of time where you are not on the clock, as they say, so you're not going to be compensated. And this just seems like out-and-out theft, fraud, of not giving you the full amount of hours that you all have worked for. And it seems like it's a widespread pattern. As Roz was saying, either it could be the owner, whoever. It could be all the whites that work there in cahoots, and they just split up the profits among themselves. I think Mr. Fuller might have even made mention to this in the audio. I would not refer to it as a gripe. This is it. I would go exactly what he said in the introduction, that this could be. You're not indicting anybody. But it's seeming like there's a consistent discrepancy with compensation, where either the amount of hours that you're being credited with working are lower than what you actually worked. And it's seeming like this is a widespread problem. This is not a one or two person thing. It's seeming like a lot of people are reporting that this could be a problem. And I would say, hey, we need to have something in place to try to remedy this problem. Let's have an investigation to see if that is the case. And it seemed like you were even saying that sometimes they were finding that this was true and that they would compensate the person later on, but the person might have quit and moved on. And so then, hey, if they already left, then we don't have to worry about it. So if this is something that's happening on a widespread basis where they've even had to acknowledge a few times that, yeah, we made an error, quote unquote, well, let's see what we can do to solve this problem permanently so that this doesn't happen. I think this would be another case that just dramatically emphasizes how important documentation is to have a method, even if you all put in a system where there is an accurate log of all the hours that you've worked that you can keep with you, and maybe it gets co-signed so that we have a printout of this, or they have all kinds of technology and gadgets now. They could have an app for this or whatever. You have an email, but everybody has a record each day of the amount of hours that you worked, or an hourly summary at the end of the week, so that everybody has that. So when you're compensated, however you get, you know, your compensation at the end of the week, and it has the amount of hours that you work, you can check that. We have the law that we've been keeping every day. Everybody has this, so that we can permanently solve this problem. This is one of those that, I mean, racists, this is the type of thing they can knock out in 5 minutes if they really want to solve this problem, if they are not the ones that are actually doing the crime and stealing from all of you black employees, non-white employees. But documentation, I would not reference this as a gripe. And I would request, and same thing from the beginning, if the other people don't want to go along, fine. But I would be looking for a permanent resolution if this is something that's coming up every week. I mean, this is serious. Nobody wants to work hard out in the sun doing this work and then nervous that their compensation is going to be in error. Let's go ahead and solve this problem permanently so that we never have to deal with this again. That way we can just focus on doing the job and not being concerned that our compensation is going to be in error. And this could be subversive activity. I mean, this is serious. They should take this serious. As you all were talking about going to the Better Business Bureau, this is serious. This is exactly what Mr. Fuller said, where we should use language to capture how serious this is. This is not a gripe or a complaint. This is subversive activity against the company. I mean, if this is fraud, if this is something that's happening regularly, where we are being, our wages are being stolen from us.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. This, like Dustin said, it's a lot of modern technology. Can you take little pictures with your cell phone at each receipt? You know, mark it for that day. Put it in the file, and on payday, you know, if there's a discrepancy with our pictures or all the receipts, you know, you can send it in an email form to them. And, you know, this is what I expect to be paid for. Or you can send it before payday just to let them know that, hey, I'm watching my money. I don't know if that's all right to take a picture of the receipt, you know, because of the information on it or whatever. But if you can, I think that would be a good idea.
One correction, we work on commission. So each one of the car, we get paid by the car. So, and different cars get, we get paid different things from our different cars. Like for a full detail, it's $75. We keep 30, they get the supervisors and whatever, or the owner gets 45. What the stage that we're at right now is writing all of our work down on a listed paper that we have printed out, taking pictures of each one of the tickets individually, taking pictures of the VIN number and the stock number on each car, and keeping everything, you know, synchronized week by week how it's supposed to go, and keeping up with our checks to see who's missing what, or who's missing money this week, who's missing money that week. And like I said, now that I'm hearing you guys talk about it and I'm hearing more about it, I think I'm gonna tell the guys, let's do this process for maybe another month, maybe another 2 months, just, you know, just to keep have that listed documentation. Because frankly, since I forget who it was just said that it was, it's probably the guy, it's probably on top. I don't know if that was you, Gus, that said it's probably the owner, or maybe could be the owner. But the more I'm talking, you guys are talking, and I'm thinking about it, I'm talking about it, it might be him. It's probably him. And that's why, you know, because we've made comments and not in the right way, but we've made gripes, you know what I mean? We said things to him out of the way and directly what it is, what we want, you know what I'm saying, to stop happening, our checks to stop coming up short. We don't know why. What is the problem? And he doesn't blow us off, so to speak. Or excuse me, that's a metaphor. He doesn't, not reply to us, so to speak. He's not non-responsive, but his responses are, all right, we're going to sit down and hash this thing out. We're going to see what's going on, because I can't have you guys out here working, man, and you're not getting any, you know, you're not getting the proper money for it, man. That's just messed up. And he'll kind of like fade to white. He'll find kind of like fade away, and like, you know, we won't see him anymore for the rest of the day. He's busy doing this, doing that, and then he's gone again, because he doesn't live here. He lives in another state, and he runs his operation from another state. But I'm thinking it's him. I'm thinking that it's a waste of time even going to him with the documentation. I'm thinking that maybe emailing them. I didn't think about that, emailing the information to them. But I'm thinking about just going straight to, as Gus said, it's wage theft, and just going straight to the Better Business Bureau, because, like I said, I don't need my job, but I need my job. I need finances, you know what I mean? Small, however they may be. But I don't need to be getting, you know, ripped off. And I seriously suspect that is. So that's a correction I want to make. We work on commission. And we have been taking pictures of the tickets and of the stock numbers, of the VIN numbers, and making documentation, listed documentation on a list that we had printed out.
So I would take pictures of every piece of detail I do, because I'm thinking, if you were white, that's what they would do. It wasn't getting paid right, they would be marking it down. Like Neely Fuller said in the beginning, they're the kings of documentation. Everything they do is a piece of paper saying every little piece of what they did. I mean, I see that from the jobs I had. And when I heard your story, I was like, man, it sounds familiar. Like, we heard this before. Yeah. But then it was it hit me. It was the book study session with Richard Williams' book. Where he was working at a car wash or something and getting cheated off of the amount of work he did. But, I wish you luck. I just really hope that, I really think that if you show that you're, you know, send those emails before the check comes, just to let them know that you're on point with your stuff, that will stop.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I just want to say that's duly noted. I'm gonna do that. The email thing. Our time goes in on Wednesday, so our time just went in yesterday. So from today I know what I worked today. Only made a couple dollars a day, but anyway, I know what I made today, and I took pictures of it. So I'm gonna write that on the list. And next Tuesday, I'm gonna email the white gentleman who is the owner. I'm gonna email him. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna email him and two to three of others, details. I'm gonna have them email them as well. Also, it hasn't been vocalized to me that they're tense about how I am. I'm vocal. I put myself as the target because I want it to be known that I have a stance of justice. I have a stance of, I don't care who you are, I won't be mistreated, but I'm vocal about it. And I realize I made myself a target. So, and I let all of them know, you don't got to do what I do. You don't got to join in my conversations. You don't have to be But I do feel from a few of them, I feel the tenseness of losing their job, you know, because they need it or, you know, somebody possibly doing something to them because of their views or for the words that they say or whatever. So I kind of feel this. So I kind of don't push too hard on everybody, but there are two or three other gentlemen who feel the same way that I do. They need their job, but if it's not right, they'd rather lose their job fighting against what's not right than to keep it and keep getting, you know, you know. So
I was going to say, based on what you said, the owner said to you, as far as him saying, you know, we can't have you working so hard and not getting paid, hit just the tone, at least the go to but him. So I wonder if he's done that before. I don't know if you know anyone else who's worked for him before, but if he did the same thing to them and said, oh, you know, this is really not a good thing, it's a travesty and we need to look into this, because it could either be that he's not stealing and one of the two or both of the other white people are stealing and they're slipping it by him, or it could be that they're all stealing and they're all in cahoots with one another, or he's the one that's doing the stealing and the other two whites are not fully aware. And just when you brought up the idea of whether or not this is, I've heard of this before, when you said that you'll get paid off commission-based jobs, I've heard this numerous times, is where the most wage theft takes place. Even in the company that I work, they pay for me to get my health insurance license so I can actually sell health insurance in the states of New York and New Jersey. And there's other people who work in the sales department. I work in the member services department, who told me that they would never pay properly as far as their commission. And they do put the onus on the person to show proof that they made the commission. So in other words, you're basically guilty first of trying to steal, and innocent when you bring your hours and your documentation to prove what you did. And there was a female I had a long conversation with who said she had to present all kinds of documentation to get her money that they owed her, and they still didn't pay her everything. So definitely I've heard it before, and in commission-based jobs, it's like ridiculous the kind of robbery that takes place. And definitely keep as many records as possible. Emailing is great because then you have basically a solid record that you can send to your personal email address. So even if you go to the Better Business Bureau to handle this in some form of fashion, you can actually give them documentation, take a photograph of your paycheck, pay stub, to show what was missing as far as the monetary amounts that were missing and the hours, because they usually put the hours on your stub. So if you do have to take it further, you have all the documentation, and the email would be perfect because it's time stamped and date stamped. Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. Checking in to see if other folks who dialed in that we have not heard from, if you all had commentary you want to share on what you've heard from our male caller who just chimed in, or any of the other folks who dialed in and shared their commentary, or if you just, you know, had your own experiences that you wanted to speak to as well. Anybody that we have not heard from thus far, you should be with us if you had commentary.
Yes, have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings to Gus, all the listeners and callers. I just want to tell you about an incident that I was just made aware of not too long ago. So I kind of wear like Afrocentric shirts to work. I think I emailed before and said how the white guys here, they wear shirts. I guess they have a gang called Crazy White Boys. They have like a, I don't want to say it's an iron cross, but it symbolizes some type of racist thing that they have going on. Sometimes people wear a lot of gun shirts here. I've also seen a guy with Confederate flag shirts. A guy had on a T-shirt recently that had All Rifles Matter. So yesterday I had on one of my shirts. It didn't say black. It said BLZ. CK America on a shirt. And you know, just like a typical day whenever I wear an Afrocentric shirt, all the white guys are looking, they're talking amongst themselves, and it really doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm kind of like the last caller. Like, I put myself out there in a sense, so I'm already the target, so it is what it is at this point, and I'm really fed up with dealing with these races and quote-unquote playing the game. If I gotta play the game, then I'm gonna cheat.
to get to where I got to get. But I kind of don't want to play the game. So today a guy walked up to me, and he's like, hey, did anyone say anything to you about your shirt? Now, this is a white guy. So I was like, what shirt? And he was like, oh, the shirt that you had on yesterday. I was like, no, why? He was like, oh, they went to the supervisor. They was complaining. I don't see what the big deal is, but they were complaining. I was like, oh, that's all right, like that. I didn't think anything else of it. So then I walked away or whatever. And I started thinking, before I had wore a Malcolm X shirt that I had created myself. And it's on the back I had freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. And then I remember three gentlemen walking up to me, white gentlemen, and they all was like, oh, I like that shirt. It's cool. But I know basically what they were doing. They were just trying to come and see it so that way they can go and report it to everyone else. But it kind of got to me a little bit, like, why, because I told my fiance, like, right after the fact, and she was like, oh, well, you shouldn't wear that type of stuff if you know how they are. And I was like, well, why do I have to show who I am or not be proud of who I am just because these guys, they're doing what they're doing? If they can do it, then it shouldn't be an issue when I do it, like that. So nobody haven't approached me yet. No supervisor haven't came. But, like, I did notice that the supervisor kept circling my area yesterday. Nobody said anything. But if they do say anything, I'll ask for it in writing. And then I also have pictures of Confederate flags and other stuff that I took. I took so many pictures of this place. This place is ridiculous. So I'm kind of somewhat prepared just in case they do say anything to me. And then also, I think I have wrote in before about them playing music with the word nigger being displayed in it like several times. That I actually never reported because I spoke to a non-white black male. He told me, he was like, look, man, don't do that, because then he was like, you know, he was like, they're going to fire you instantly. And then I thought about it for a second, but I'm pretty much at the point where it's like, whatever. Like, I kind of feel like if they fire me, I do get paid a pretty penny here. I get paid a decent amount here. And I also am responsible for helping out other family members. But at the end of the day, if I degrade myself and play myself for a check, then they could fire me tomorrow after me doing all that. And then I'd just be stuck with feeling like an idiot in a sense. So I'd rather hold my head up high, continue doing what I'm doing, and then whatever happens, happens. But that was pretty much my workplace experience.
I'm reminded of Mr. Fuller's commentary about dignified slave, which he's shared frequently. Certainly everybody, you know, you figure out, we all just try to come to the best conclusions that we can about how to deal with situations on the job. I guess the recommendation I'd make with regards to retired firefighter in Florida, he had mentioned that early in the program. It's been my experience that one way or another, racists, they come out on top. In any of those type of situations, and I have seen this where they didn't like one person, one black person. They didn't like, you know, what they were wearing or what, and it wasn't even anything to be described as Afrocentric or anything like that. And they ended up going and changing the whole policy, the whole wardrobe policy for one person. And I have seen and heard that type of thing before. And I say that just because, even when we did the Cows t-shirts that had "Please respect me like I am a white person," I said specifically I would not wear that to a job. I think Mr. Fuller has explained it, you know, just being truthful about things. You asked for the job. They did not come and ask you to come on this job. You wanted the job to get resources, to be compensated, make a few nickels, to, you know, get things done in your life, improve your quality of life. If you ask for the job, you intend to keep it until you don't want it anymore. It seems like you're not looking to leave right now. You haven't put in 2 weeks' notice or what have you. So if it's still that you want this place of employment, I probably would not wear that type of clothing on the job. That's just me, just knowing that I am going amongst racists, that's who I'm going to be around. I would not want to attract any additional attention to me while I'm on the job. That's just me. I know other people, they have a totally different view on it, and that's fine, but it's been my experience with that sort of thing. whites tend to win, whether it's they end up changing the wardrobe policy, whether it's they just come up with other reasons to get rid of you. I certainly think that's a solid idea in terms of having photographs of what other people have worn on the job, what whites have worn on the job. If it's, you know, whatever it is, their gun T-shirts or the crosses or whatever that they're in, crazy white gang shirts or whatever, the Confederate flag, I mean, it's all over the place. But at the end of the day, it's still probably going to be a white person who is making the final decision about what's going to be deemed acceptable in that workplace, what is not going to be acceptable. So that's just my opinion. I mean, we are in a weaker position with regards to power. If you ask for the job, I just generally take the position to trying not to do things that you know are probably going to bring more attention to you, and I would say probably more unwanted attention and maybe even criticism to you as a black person, victim of white supremacy, because that sort of thing is already going to be coming your way anyway. That's just my opinion. I don't really see a benefit to it. Like doing that, I just don't see what the upside. Like, this is not going to help me get a promotion. This is not going to help me get any clients. Like, why am I doing this on the job? I feel like whatever people say about, you know, dignity and self-respect and all that, you can do that on your free time when you're not at work. I mean, I don't think most people go around on the job calling white people racists and crackers and a whole lot of other stuff, even though that might make them feel better, because it's not going to help them keep the job. That's kind of the same logic I would apply to garments and clothing, but certainly VGQ on that.
Can I speak to that briefly?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can I speak to that caller briefly, what he talked about?
Yes, sir.
All right. I was going to say, because I know you, at one point you were saying that you didn't want to feel like a fool if you didn't stand up to them, and let's say they let you go anyway, then you really don't have to kowtow to them. I think a good thing is just to be like, I think all the advice Gus gave about codification is perfect as far as not wearing anything that would attract any undue attention to you. I can speak from experience. I have a slew of shirts that would terrify white people in my wardrobe, and I never wear any of them to my job. The only time that I've worn shirts of that type to my job is when I was at the end of my wanting to be there, and I was at that point where I just did not care anymore, where they backed me into a corner where I felt like, okay, the racists are going to win. They're going to get me out of here. So I'm going to wear this specifically to let them know what I'm on when I walk into this job, and I'm expecting anything to happen. And it was a Nat Turner shirt that I wore. And I remember my wife was like, She looked at me and she said, oh, you going to wear that today? I said, yeah. I said, it's warfare. And I said, whatever happens today happens. She said, okay, honey, you know, go do what you got to do. And I went on the job, and, you know, some of the black people came to me and was like, they, you know, pulled me to the side and were like, oh, my goodness. And then I had white people actually stop me and ask me about the shirt. But eventually I ended up losing the job, but it was expected. I didn't care at that point. My family was aware of what it was. But the entire time I was there, I never wore anything of that type. I was very codified in my behavior, didn't bring anything from home, no pictures, no personal effects, none of that stuff at all. But when you have organized terrorism on a level where you have to combat it, you know that the end is coming. For me, the gloves were off at that point, so I was going to wear every shirt to scare the heck out of them possible, and that was my mentality. But throughout my time, then I was there for a number of years, they knew nothing of the sort until the very end. And it was what it was. So I would say it's nothing where you're kowtowing to the person. It's just being to them. I would say it's just being codified in a way in which you don't give them any insight into your psyche. Not reading books that might be, you know, inflammatory, quote unquote. Not wearing any shirts, because even the job I work at now, I can literally go to work wearing whatever I want. If it's shorts, if it's a T-shirt, whatever it is, as long as it's clean attire and it doesn't have any so-called offensive language or pictures on it, then it's fine. So I usually, you know, just wear very simple, you know, T-shirts or whatever. If it's really hot, I'll throw on some shorts. And if they have anything on them, it's something that's completely has nothing to do with anything else, where they can't use it to say, oh, well, he's black or he's on some black stuff or whatever the case may be. It's just regular, you know, straightforward something. I'll say New York City on it or something like that, but nothing that they can associate, where they can in any way, shape or form psychologically profile me. So I don't know if that might help you moving forward as far as just how to codify and not feel like you're you know, giving in or so-called kowtowing to the white people or kissing their behinds, because you don't have to do that, but you don't have to do anything to bring any undue attention to yourself as well, especially if you need the job. That's something, you know, that's something I would suggest. And of course, if it's at a point where you know that the inevitable is happening and you're at your wit's end and you're just done and you know what's to come and you're prepared for that, then, you know, by that, at that point, then you can do whatever you see fit. But while you're there and you're just trying to make your regular living and get that paycheck every 2 weeks or however often they pay you, you want to be as codified and as nondescript as possible. Thank you.
I would like to speak.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to speak on it. In my opinion, and before I state my opinion, I would just let everyone know I made a lot of mistakes during the time that I was on the job that I retired from. Some of them may have been in the light of the caller who mentioned about his participation in.
Sorry about that.
In his participation in wearing the T-shirts, I was on a, when I was working on that job, it was a time where there were rules, but they weren't being enforced. But one thing that I've noticed about the white supremacists is that they eventually would get to the point to where as they really start enforcing some of the smallest of rules. And as I think I heard Gus state, that if it comes down to it, that you see the inconsistencies from white people perceivably doing what they want to do, and you start copying it, that's when the rule would change. That's when the rule would start being enforced. And it's best to be prepared about it. But you have to kind of like make a decision. Do you want to engage into symbolic gestures or just utilize that particular part of your life as a means of as best as you can compensating yourself and then leave at the end of the day? And you know, plan on from a direct sense that you're going to accomplish that, you know, from that 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 in the evening, like most people, you know, work on a job like for those hours, you know, and plan it therefore, or you know, one or the other. I would say that the whole idea of the symbolic type of Afrocentric, I believe the word was used, things, you it probably is something that, you know, you eventually would you know, say that, you know, well, I would advise that you don't do it, you know, because it only would bring more problems than what you really would want in that type of environment. You know, VGQ is what I heard also, you know, as far as they're concerned. If you want to make that some sort of a platform for doing that sort of thing, then at the same time, you have to weigh in on the circumstances or the consequences to that. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be good. The consequences are not going to be good on it. And, you know, I would say, in my opinion, you know, you look back on it and say, well, you know, I, you know, this just is something that I'm supposed to get compensated for, you know, called, you know, working for a living, that sort of thing. And because you can always do the other things. The bottom line is that white people are going to know on who you are anyway. Even without the T-shirts, they're going to know. They're going to know that this black person actually is really against the things that I'm doing as a white person. You can practice justice without even having to say the word. You know, even after saying, you don't even have to say the word, and they would automatically know on what you're talking about based on your daily activity, because they are paying attention to us or watching us, and they make a, meaning white people who practice racism, they make a distinction. If you are doing things or through your speech and activity that's different from the other non-white black people, that goes outside of that narrow box that they have us in, without you having to say anything as far as anything like counter-racism or white supremacy, you don't have to say any of that. They are automatically going to figure you out. I hear all the time from the host as well as the callers that white people are not ignorant about racism. They are not. Matter of fact, I would say that they know more about it than we do on a collective basis. So that's just my opinion on that. And so somebody else can comment on it. Thank you.
I just had a question I wanted to ask the listener. And again, all of us just offering our opinions as victims of racism. When you wear your Afrocentric clothing to work, what problem are you trying to solve?
That is a good question. honestly, it was kind of like I said, just to basically show that, you know, I am who I am, and I don't care what you think, and I'm not with the game. And to show, I guess, other non-white people that, you know what I mean, like, you don't have to, quote-unquote, play the game. But everything that you guys said is completely logical. And I'll definitely change up my attire. And it's just like the firefighter from Florida said, like when I first became codified, before even putting on the T-shirts, they did notice. They noticed. And it did shock them a whole lot, because prior to that, like I said, I was being terrorized and I'll have outbursts. Then when I became codified, they can do something, and I'll just figure out a conniving way to get them back. Like, if I have to bring them material, I'll leave it at a distance where they had to walk to it, and then they stopped doing everything that they were doing. But then, like I said, the symbolism came, and then there was a whole lot of other things. Like, they'll basically stand, like, a guy comes stand right next to me with a silly shirt on, so I was like, all right, in my head, I was like, all right, two can play that game. But, again, I wasn't being codified, and they basically played the game of chess a lot well than I imagined. So in order for me to be a little bit smarter, I have to stay codified. So I guess to answer your question, nothing.
Right on, right on. Appreciate that. That's a question I tried. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say real quick, when I asked that question, I think that's something to keep in the forefront frequently when we're evaluating racism, white supremacy, evaluating our own behavior. What problem are we trying to solve? Like, from the macro level, the problem of whites, racism, white supremacy, and then the micro level, individual things that we're doing. What problem are we trying to solve? And unfortunately, I found that frequently there is no problem that we're trying to solve with some of the things that we're doing. That in and of itself, I think, is a problem. Thomas, you were going to comment?
Yes. First thing is, man, brother's bold. You know, we got a group, gang of crazy white boys here called the NYPD. And I wouldn't wear anything in the streets to bring more attention to me than normal, let alone to the workplace. In fact, in my codification at work is I wear a button-up shirt and slacks, and shoes to work every day, casual Friday, same thing. I don't wear no jeans. I'm not, no, they, oh, why don't you dress? Why don't you wear? No, no, that's okay, you know. Same way every day. Let me get my check. I'll see y'all, you know, Monday. Yeah, I just don't, I never got the purpose of wearing Afrocentric clothes because personally, I don't see what we have to be proud about. And I don't see what kind of pride you're getting at. I mean, Africa's probably in a worse condition than the United States is for us. I don't see anything that you know, we have to be proud about to be wearing any of those Afrocentric clothes. And if I was a white person at the workplace and someone came in with Afrocentric clothes, man, I couldn't wait to get around other white people so I could laugh. Or look at this idiot, like, you know, what are you thinking? You know, look how we got them and look what, you know, I mean, I just don't see the purpose of it.
Right on. Some of the other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary, either on what you have already heard, or if you, you know, would like to share your own experiences, the number to dial is 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. I think all the folks who dialed in more recently should be with us. Are there folks that we have not heard from at all who have comments they would like to share?
This is Sunny, and I wanted to comment on, wanted to speak on the, you're so quiet, and you don't talk much, and all the variations on that sentiment. So I had a staff member say to me, Sunny, I don't know anything about you. I said, really? Well, I've been here 10 years. What do you want to know? In other words, I'm indicating that whatever it is she wants to know, it must have to do with my knowledge, my viewpoint on the new fiscal year budget allocations or pending legislation that will affect our department or something like that. So I said, what is it that you want to know? And she said, no. Do you have a heart? Have you been married? How long have you been married? Do you have children? What hobbies do you have? What do you do on the weekend? You know, that kind of thing. And so on. So well, you know, these are the kind of things that she wanted to know. And he's nowhere near the only person that I've had this experience with on the job. And this is especially true of the racist, white supremacist, terrorist, white females. And so anyway, I was not shocked, but I was surprised that she spent that much of her time, any of her time, wondering about my life, my personal life in particular. So I smiled and I looked her in the eyes and I said very, very politely, why do you want to know? Because I can assure you, I am the most polite person in my setting without fail. I make sure of that. So even in my uber politeness and my professional demeanor, I showed more interest in why do you want to know these things about me than I did about my interest in wanting to answer her personal rapid-fire questions about me. Anyway, so after she responded back, and I said, oh, okay, I understand. Well, we'll talk. Right now, I do have to get back to my project. I'm on a deadline, but I have no problem talking about myself. So we'll talk. And I did have work to do, and I did have to get on with it. And we probably will talk in a more personal way at some point. It's just not a priority for me. And if we don't work at the same site, then it's not going to be near term probably, but maybe at one of the Christmas parties or something, you know, we'll catch up. That's one of the things I wanted to say. And the last thing I wanted to say was the team player, family around here notion. I hear that often as well. And I think that maybe we here on the Cows have probably unraveled a common pattern, because it sounds like we as victims, that we have a disproportionate number of us just here on the program that have heard this. But I too have heard it, and numerous times. And when I asked the person who asked, what does that mean, team player, for example, more in particularly team player, and it turns out that what team player means, my interpretation, after I hear what they say, is that they don't know my personal business. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, and I'll mute my line.
Fascinating. Wow. That's a good good response when they are off on that, and I think that's something we've heard a lot on this program as well, where whites are like, oh, man, we need to know about your detail. Where are your grandparents from? And, you know, what did you have for dinner last month? And, you know, how many children do you have? How many times have you had sexual intercourse this month? And, you know, they like they're writing a biography on you, you know. How is this information going to help us get this budget report done by 12 p.m.? Like, getting right to business. I mean, you don't have to be nasty about it. In fact, I would encourage you to be as polite as you possibly can. But, I mean, you know, how is any of this going to help us get our work done on time so that we can get out of here on time and go home with our family and what have you, or do whatever we do in our spare time? You know, we got a lot. We got deadlines around here, man. This cannot be the most important agenda for the day. And is this applying for everybody? That would be another one. I know Mr. Fuller talks about that all the time as well, in terms of, does this apply to everybody? Like, are we doing quizzes? Am I going to get to quiz everybody on the job as well about, you know, any personal questions that I would like to ask about their family and grandparents and cousins and brothers and sisters and, you know, what they do on their weekends and all this other stuff? And again, how is that going to help us as with regards to the bottom line, productivity, getting things done here on the job, the things that are on my job description? How is it going to help us accomplish all of that? And let them tell you. Other folks that are chiming in, if we have not heard from you, if you had a hand up, feel free. Seeming like that.
Can I hear you?
Oh, yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yes, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. I had a few observations. The first one was, there was a black female that I, well, she's older, that I usually talk to sometimes, and she was walking out of the door, and we were both getting off of the elevator. And the female officer, she says to the black female, she says, oh, is he bothering you? So I guess, you know, she was, what they like to say, joking around. So black female goes along with it and says, oh, yeah, he's doing this and that or whatever. So, you know, you can file a conjunction, like an injunction, saying the word incorrectly. Intentionally, because I guess she attends the domestic violence hearings every Thursday. So that was a bit of tackiness on that one, because I guess, you know, just trying to project that stereotype, you know, that the white supremacists have portrayed black males as some kind of a you know, person that's prone to violence and don't use their brain and stuff like that. And I had, like, my mother, she works at the other clerk's office. So I had donated, like, over 100 hours, you know, for her to get, like, 2 paychecks. And nobody else helped out. So I guess, like, she wanted to test and see, like, if, you know, if they were going to put that info in the newsletter, because it's supposed to detail and, you know, let, like, broadcast, you know, just updates around the office or whatever, you know, when people do things to help people, and, you know, I guess, you know, reports on different employees. And they put it in there, but they kind of, like, they reworded the way that she wanted it, the way that she wanted it stated. So, you know, they're definitely, they utilized their power and influence there. And I suspect it was a particular white female with a lot of power. And, like, when I seen her, you know, they just suspiciously started to be very nice to me. And the other powerful white people, like, when I just, you know, greet them and I speak to them, they just, you know, somewhat can't even look me in the eye for some reason. So I don't know what that had to do with. Like, I don't know if it had to do with that or something else. And I had got a promotion, and it seems like some white people are trying to behave in a constructive manner toward me, even though I'm still enormously suspicious. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, the objective, you know, I'm trying to get paid more money, you know. So, you know, they're trying to help me out, learn different things. But still, like, some of them, they still practice racism. So, you know, like, I'm still on the lookout, you know. And I can't think of anything else. Oh, it was a white woman. Like, she was bringing out some late mail. I think I might have shared this, but, you know, she did, like, the way that she said it, like, she said, can you take this to the post office? Like, the way she said it, like, you know, so I just took the mail and I just brought it back, and then she walked back outside. So, yeah, gotta definitely watch that contact with the white woman. So that's all I have.
Wow. That I am not surprised at all that it was not like blown up in the whatever it is, if they have some sort of weekly mailer or newsletter or what have you to give information about employees or things that are happening or what have you, that they no special notification that, oh, wow, this one person donated 100 hours on his own to help out his mother. And that's, you know, that's wonderful. Like, I'm not surprised at all. If it had been, you know, you were caught smoking crack in the bathroom, like, oh my gosh, we need to put that in the newsletter and email everybody and blast that everywhere. But black people doing something constructive, particularly a black son trying to help out his black mother, like, I mean, unless he has some, you know, new mother jokes that he wants to talk about, you know, his mom, then we don't care about that at all. That's nothing that we want to give any attention to under this current system. And definitely, if you're moving up, that's, hey, what this is supposed to be all about. I've said that consistently. Anybody that has figured out how to minimize problems on the job, where you're getting your promotions and getting a raise and moving up, not having any problems, that is great. Certainly maintain the suspicion, because the white people do have a pattern of building up to tear down consistently. But certainly, if you are moving up, that's outstanding. If they're trying to be helpful, take notes, but certainly keep the suspicion, because I am sure there are going to be some white people that are not pleased about seeing a black person looking like they are doing well on the job.
I agree with that, because the lady, she sat down and talked to me today, and she was saying that there was going to be a black female that was going to be going over with the checklist with me. So, you know, we pretty much have a good track record of relating to each other, me and this black female. So I suspect it'll go well. And if I could add one more thing, like, I've been drinking a lot more water, you know, because, like, we have, you know, water on the job, so, you know, it's easy access. So, you know, ever since I've been up in my intake, it's been like white people saying, you know, you can chop up some cucumbers and add some lemon juice and constructive conversations like that. You know, she's saying, one lady said, man, you know, like it can really help if you just drink more water. You don't have to have these bad leg cramps and, you know, exercising. So, you know, I try and have them kind of conversations because it seems like it's some kind of constructive benefit, you know, to people there. So, yeah, just to try and stay positive.
Absolutely. That's A+ too. That's another one. And people that we talked about that before when they say you don't talk or what have you, to look for ways where if they are coming to you with a gossip or nonsense, where you can redirect to the job. If anything that is constructive information, always outstanding. If it's something, hey, you can minimize the amount of time it takes you to commute from work. You can cut your commute by 50%, grand, anything. I can give you some information on how to get a flight and save $200, grand. Anything that is constructive information that's helpful, great. Long as it's not nonsense, gossip, talking bad, trashy jokes, that sort of thing. But anything, you know, where you can evaluate that this is some actual accurate, truthful information that I can put to some sort of constructive use, great, fantastic. More of it. Let's try and encourage that every time that we open our mouth up to speak. If there are other folks anybody that we have not heard from at all, you should go ahead and speak now or get your hand up now if you don't have your hand up. But anybody we have not heard from at all?
Might be hurt.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Akua from Milwaukee. And I don't really have a workplace racism since I guess I filed my report about what was going on at the job. There hasn't been any more instances. They have been sending me out, like, very quickly and keeping me out, like, until the end of the day, until the end of my shift. So I haven't had, like, really a whole lot of interaction with the other people at my job, which is good for me. But I wanted to get you guys' opinion. We have evaluations that are coming up. And you evaluate yourself first. So then I guess when you go in with the supervisor, they go over what you graded yourself and then they rate you. But I gave myself, you can get this 1 through 5. 5 is the highest. I gave myself all 4s. But I wrote that I do my job to the best of my ability, regardless of the training that I was given. And I understand that most of the things that I've learned come from the experience of doing them. So I just wanted to give you an opinion, like, does that sound okay? I don't know, like, that's what I put on there, like, for my self-assessment, to see if I could maybe, I don't know, add something or take something away or the evaluation. So it's due tomorrow. So.
You don't think you... earned 5s in some areas? You've had to deal with sexual harassment on a regular basis and nothing was done, and you don't feel like you earned 5s in having to tolerate all that?
Well, I didn't put 5s only because of the training. Like, the training wasn't really... Most of the things that I learned, I had to learn by doing them. Like, the training that you get, it really didn't prepare me for a whole lot of the things that I had experience, and a lot of things I actually learned from the other black females that I work with. Like, I didn't get any of this from any of the other workers or from the supervisor. But I guess, I don't know. I was thinking about putting all 5, but then I put all 4s because of, I felt like I probably could have put all 5s had I had like the proper training. That's how I was thinking about it.
Well, I would say, I think, number one, I think the system of white supremacy kind of encourages us to devalue black lives, black intelligence, black competence all the time. other black people and ourselves. I think that's one. And I mean, I'm being totally serious, like having to deal with sexual harassment on the job constantly where nothing is done about it. That, in my view, should boost your assessment even higher because you have not had a nice, cushy, easy work environment to go to. I mean, that's traumatizing, the type of stuff that you had to endure regularly. The comments this person was making repeatedly, and then, you know, what's going to be done to handle this. So that included, you know, I mean, you can think honestly, you know, your work situation, the other people that work there. I mean, clearly you have a sexual deviant who works there. So clearly you're doing a better job than him. I don't know about the other folks, but you in relation to other people, if you think, you know, hey, I'm one of the best employees here, I should be having at least some fives, even if it's not all fives, I should have some fives. But that notwithstanding, if you really think it's, hey, I think I'm doing fours and I would have fives if I had more adequate training, that's something I know Mr. Edward Williams, counter-racism.com, where he talks about that regularly in terms of that's one of the major ways that white supremacy is practiced on the job, where black people are not adequately trained, not properly trained. I think Thomas in New York talked about that in detail last week. And then when they don't train you correctly and then you're not doing the job adequately, it's, oh, see, exactly what we said. You no good niggers. Can't believe we hired you in the first place. Now we got to get rid of you, or you don't get your promotion, or whatever it is. So if you really think that you, you know, would have those fives if you had been trained adequately, if you didn't have to kind of just pick this stuff up on the job training from the some of the other black females that you were working with, that might even be something to include that, you know, I think I would be more proficient at this job if I had gotten a more robust, all-inclusive training, that some of the things that I learned in training didn't cover all the aspects of my job. So I was a little bit deficient. It took me some time to pick up some of this other information from some of my other coworkers. So I think I would be doing better at this stage in my career here if I had had more adequate training. And that might even be something that, you know, they address in terms of changing, improving the training process, or you could even include in that a request to be retrained to make sure that you have everything, and that would give you an opportunity to ask about sexual harassment in the workplace too when you go through the retraining. But that would be an opportunity to address that if you're so interested. That would be some of my thoughts. If other people have comments, or if you have questions, or anything you want to add to it.
That's some good advice. I waited, like, Friday is like the last day that you can turn in the evaluations, and I've had them like for the last couple of weeks, is like kind of going over it, pondering it. I just didn't want to turn it in like really quickly. I just wanted to really pay attention to what I was putting down. But I'm glad that I got a chance to call in and you know, ask other people's opinions, because that was some good advice. I am going to give myself all fives and change the wording on my self-evaluation. I appreciate that.
For sure. Does it give like the criterion for five? Like, does it say, you know, the employee who gets a five does, you know, blah, 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 blah. Does it explain it in that manner?
No, it doesn't. It's just like, it just has like safety, productivity, job knowledge, attendance, and quality. So maybe I'll probably give myself a four on attendance. I've been late a couple of times. I've just been working there to be a year in August. So, and I've probably been late like three times. So I guess a five, I don't know, would be like perfect attendance there all the time. But I think I am going to give up because of all the stuff that I've had to go through. I'm sure it's affected my sleeping and everything else. So, you know, have me, you know, sometimes coming in late. But it's only been like about three times in almost a year. But I'm going to make those changes. So I'm going to do all fives and go over this a little bit more tonight.
Outstanding. I would encourage that to other listeners as well. Always make sure you give great. In fact, Dr. Kambon would encourage, don't just give yourself great recommendations or ratings evaluations, but do that for other black people as well, even if you don't work with them. That's one thing that you can do to aid other black people specifically. If you go somewhere, he said, even the post office, if you go somewhere on a regular basis and it's a black person and they work there and you see them working hard, if they, you know, help you specifically with whatever it is you're doing, you can write a, and he recommends handwrite a letter saying, you know, hey, Miss Jackson, every time that I come here, she is phenomenal. She's pleasant. She has a smile. She goes above and beyond the call of duty to make sure that I am totally satisfied by the time I get ready to leave and whatever it is that I'm doing. And I just wanted to make sure that she gets singled out for all of the fantastic work. Like, really, you know, write it up where you are giving them as much adulation as possible, because they are so quick to stuff our permanent record with all kinds of, you know, no good nigger here, lied about this, rah, 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 just stack it up that you're just the worst person ever, to be able to combat that. And he said, well, you know, that sort of thing can help keep a black person on the job where they might be going in and getting ready to fire you. Like, well, you know, Bob said that you were terrible and that you got an attitude and that you were kind of uppity that day and you weren't a team player, but we got this letter that said that you did a really great job. So we'll give you another 6 months and, you know, see if you can, I mean, just he has seen where it can have a big impact just doing that sort of thing. So for other black people, if you can do that, that would be great. And certainly for yourself, if you have self-evaluation, make sure that you I would say make sure you're on the side of, hey, I'm great, I'm sticking in, I'm doing things. Don't lie, but I mean, certainly I think the system of white supremacy encourages us to not have a high opinion, a high assessment of our self-worth, our self-value. And under the worst circumstances, where it's not like they're making it easy for us to do great work frequently, I would say for the most part, we are doing an outstanding job under extremely difficult circumstances. Other folks have input or questions? The female caller in Wisconsin, I always think of Jeffrey Dahmer when I hear Wisconsin now. Other folks have questions or comments they want to make sure they got in before we get to anybody else?
Yeah, definitely put in there that you know, show how you trained yourself and how efficient you became at that before you trained yourself. I would add wording like that in there as well.
Hello, Gus.
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to ask the person that spoke, the female, for her evaluation, is there a question on there that asks about resistance to stress?
No, there's not a question that asks about resistance to stress.
Well, I was going to comment, suggest that if there's anything that resembles that question, that you assuredly put a 5 in the areas that have to do with temperament and strength, and especially pertaining to stress and resistance to it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Anybody, I think everybody that dialed in with a hand up, you should be with us. Did we miss? Is there anybody that we missed? Again, encourage. Hopefully people will not lollygag and wait till the last minute. Anybody that we have not heard from at all who had a hand up, who wanted to make sure they commented or questioned or shared?
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to share really quickly about I was recently taking the place of a black sea. In her place, so to speak, and I was approached by a white female, and the white female was probably in her 50s, maybe early 60s, and she said, "Oh, okay, so you're working in place of so and so, you know, the black female," and I was like, "Yeah, I'm working in her place today." And she was, the white female said, yeah, this, she's, me and her are always going at it, you know. She's rude. I don't know what her problem is. And her tone was saying it kind of jokingly. She wasn't, she was trying to say it in I guess a kind of a nonchalant way, not too serious or whatever. And then she went in and started to talk about, you know, how, you know, at a certain, when they go out to lunch together, sometimes they may sometimes take pictures or whatever, the black female, the white female, and, you know, other coworkers. And then they would actually look at the pictures after they take the pictures. And then a black female that she was speaking of that I was, you know, working in place of would say, "Oh, I don't like that picture. You know, I look fat in that picture." Then the white female, you know, the white female telling me this, and she's like, "What do you mean you look fat in the picture? You know, you are fat, you know, and look at you. I don't care how many pictures you take, you're going to look the same way." And, you know, she's just telling me this, these stories about them going out, you know, and taking pictures and having lunch or whatever. And then she's like, "Yeah, we're always trying to set her up with a, try to get her a boyfriend. She's single and she's, you know, she's older. And I don't know, she's just so picky or whatever. You know, we try to set her up and she's just, I guess she has, you know, the black female will have some type of issue with a, maybe a physical feature of a certain male that they're trying to kind of hook her up with or try to set her up with a date with." And then, again, the white female would be like, "Well, you can't be picky, you know, look at yourself, you know." And she's just kind of going on and on about this black female to me. And, you know, again, I didn't bring any of this up. And I'm like, and the black female, to me, she's very genuine. She's very direct. She's a really good person, you know. And also, she's a victim of racism. But we've always had a good working relationship. So, yeah, and I say all that to say this, that white people are always fishing to see, you know, if you'll join in with them and start insulting, you know, other black people. And, you know, they just want to see how far you'll go or what your reactions are and see if you'll join in so they can kind of gauge, you know, to see if you're, you know, just going to go along with their racism, basically. And they'll guise it under something else, but it'll basically be racism. And particularly I've noticed, like, the white female and the white and the black female dynamic, especially if that black female is, I don't want to say aggressive, but if she's direct in her approach, she appears to be, you know, just very knowledgeable about her job. You know, white females and white males, quite frankly, too, but particularly white females get really, really, they feel threatened by that, and they're going to, you know, try to sabotage anything that they can or just do anything to try to, you know, cause some harm to that black female. And I just always notice that, especially with black females. And sometimes the black females will be physically tall. I don't know. This is just something I've noticed. If they're tall, they're not, you know, real petite or small, but they're tall and could be, you know, physically just bigger than the white females that are around. They're really, really intimidated. On top of that, if the black woman is, like I said, direct, very, very, I don't want to say sharp, but very, like I said, knowledgeable and good at her job, and they're really, really threatened by that, and they're going to go into, to the mode of practicing racism any way that they can to try to drag that that black woman down. But that's all I have for now. Thank you.
I think we brought that up on the program before, where some victims of racism have unfortunately been confused in thinking that if you are competent and proficient on the job, that will be great and that whites will appreciate you and you will really be in good standing with the family, quote unquote, or the team, quote unquote. And nothing could be further from the truth. Like, you're just another uppity nigger, and we need to remind you of that, maybe even get you out of here, who you think you are. You might be trying to take my job or act like you're going to be in charge of here or something of that nature, but we've heard that on a regular basis, and in my view, that is great black self-respect. Well, I guess, how did you respond when she kept doing all this, talking about how, you know, this no good negress that they, you know, had working here and blah, 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 blah. How did you respond when she kept just going in and in and in about how, what a terrible person she was?
You know, I was kind of keeping it real, like, oh, really? Wow. Yeah, is that right? You know, I didn't comment, and I definitely didn't join her and her insults and her little racist remarks, but I try not to. I my instinct really was to defend her, because again, this is, I consider this black female a friend, and like I said, we have a really good working relationship, and my instinct was to, you know, be defensive and say, hey, don't, you know, I don't want to hear this. Maybe I should have told her, hey, I really don't want to hear what you're talking about right now, but man, these spiteful white women, man, they, when they see that, again, they go on a campaign to do whatever to try to drag you down and use the racism. But I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, really? Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, okay, man. But that was my response or whatever. So maybe I should have been a little more codified and responded differently now that I think about it. But I didn't want to get too defensive. And try to, because again, they're really keen on gauging where you're at. You know, okay, how are they going to respond? They're looking at your body language, your tone of voice, and everything, just trying to see, okay, you know, this nigga ain't really going with what I'm saying. So maybe I'll put him on that list and start trying to sabotage them or talk bad about them or whatever. So, but that was my response.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was listening to, I guess, what the guy was just saying. And one rule I always do, you know, being codified, I would never talk bad about a black person in front of white folks, you know, on a job or anywhere. Because a lot of times, you know, when if they're talking bad about a black person, they just think now they probably will go behind your back and talk bad about you. And about a white person in front of a white person, they'll probably try to defend that white person. You know, me, myself, if they talking bad about another black person, I'm just going to ask questions and let it go. Because I remember one time on a job that I had years ago, you know, some of the black people were telling me, hey, you know, your old supervisor, that white woman, man, she was just talking bad about you in front of the white folks. And I said, yeah, that's it. I know. I said, I'm not surprised, and there's nothing I could do. I said, it doesn't upset me. I really don't care. If she wants to talk bad about me, I'm like, who cares? And the thing I was listening earlier in the evaluation, and sometimes we get them, but one thing that I notice about these white supervisors, if they write something, you know, in your evaluation that's unfavorable, what I always did is I would go back and write a rebuttal in writing. I'd have, like I say, I always document in my journal, or, you know, I always keep records what I do every day, and that's why I do that. So then I'll go back and write, you know, all my documentation and just talk about how much he lied and that's not the truth. And 9 times out of 10, when white supervisors would try to downgrade me, I would always put the truth in there, and personnel would might take the evaluation and say, well, we've seen enough. And they just won't evaluate that. I've had that happen so many times. See, that's just the setup to keep you down, you know, from that promotion where they can go to a white person, you know, and give them all these upgrades or whatever, you know, make them look good and make you look bad, you know. So that's why I always when they write something that I feel is unfavorable or not true, I always respond in writing the documentation, an email. And I guess that's all I had.
I know. Only thing I will add, if other folks have commentary or what have you, that's fine too. The only thing I'll add, the mail call, I appreciate you sharing. And that's, I feel like that's another one that we've heard a lot in terms of white people on the job, where they will wait for a black person that's not present and then have a lot of really nasty, ugly things to say about that black person and try to pull you into it. Like, oh, yeah, don't you think, you know, such and such is just a troll, and, oh, you know, she's terrible, and, you know, she's the worst worker we have, or he's terrible and he's always a rah, 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 and that sort of thing. And I was thinking, too, like, oh, yeah, you know, to tell her, you know, I don't participate in any of that stuff, man. I don't want to hear what you're talking about and that sort of thing. But, I mean, that is, it's totally logical that a white person hearing you rebuke them in that manner, they might say, oh, this nigger, we're going to get him, too, since he didn't want to hear me talk bad about this other black female on the job. But one thing that I was thinking, a codified way that you could make that clear, where it doesn't appear, or at least it's not as easy for them to just try to say, oh, he was just trying to stop me from talking bad about a black person, to just say, you know, I really make an effort on all the jobs that I'm on to just not be involved in any sort of gossip or talking about other employees. Hey, we're all part of the family. That's what you could throw their rhetoric back on. We're all part of the family. So, hey, I don't talk about anybody else that's here, particularly if they're not here. I don't get engaged in that. I'm just trying to do my job as best I can. That's a lesson that I picked up over the years. And that way, it's not even personal. This is just an in general code that I have about how I function on the job. I think that might help. That might be useful in digging out of those situations sometimes. Just my general code. I don't talk about folks. I don't talk about team members, family members, particularly if they're not present to speak up for themselves.
Right. That's what I do. I just, me, myself, I just listen to it, and no, I don't say anything. You know, I would just listen to what they have to say, and I say, oh, yeah, okay, and then I move on. I just walk away. That's what I basically do. Oh, and there's one last thing. About, I guess somebody brought up sexual harassment. One thing, too, is that, you know, if you're going to file, you know, go after somebody for, you know, either sexual harassment or discrimination, I always find that probably if you're going to go after that person, you probably want to go and talk to, you know, an outside agency. You know, like some, because every state has one. Like, I guess the lady was talking about Wisconsin. You can look online and find the Wisconsin Department of Human Rights, or where I live, Illinois Department of Human Rights. And, you know, you can talk to an investigator. You got like 120 days, seem like, you know, after you, when something happens. Because if you just go to personnel, I'm about 99.9% sure you're not going to get anywhere. They're, like I said, white folks are just going to stick together, take that information, and, you know, and try to use it against you. But, you know, if you go a different route, you might get a little bit better. But under white supremacy, there's nothing is a, you know, a surefire way. You know, they might not, you know, help you either, but me personally, I would go to an outside agency. That's all I had.
Right on. Any other folks have observations, questions, commentary they wanted to make sure they got in? I think we got everybody who dialed in. It shouldn't be anybody that had a hand up that we totally missed. If it is, you should speak up right now. But anybody else, whether you spoke?
Heard.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah, good night. What's been happening at my job is the I think I said before, I work with some engineers, and I'm basically like an assistant to them. I, you know, build fixtures and like get like material and stuff for them to build prototypes and stuff like that. And what I've been noticing or observing is that sometimes they'll ask me to get something, and I'll have to interact with somebody, and they'll ask me if I'm okay with doing that. And some people really, I really don't want to interact with them. So I'd be like, no, I would prefer if you interact with that person. And then when that white person interacts with that other white person, like, to me, it's almost like they they make a way for me. Like, they'll almost like they introduce me to that person. And then I can just come in and just, you know, do what is asked of me. Instead of, like, they ask me, okay, go deal with that person. And then you go to the person, and they're like, okay, who sent you? And then you ask the person, like, okay, then such and such sent me. And they want it done by this time, can't be done by this time. And it's like, you can't get an answer. And it's like a back and forth between these two white people. When I find it would be easier if, you know, these two white people just communicate with each other instead of having me as an in-between. The other thing that happened at my job was I was working on this fixture, and this engineer had said something about, like he called the product a Pakistani product, and I was saying to him, like, you know, I said, why are you calling it that? And he's like, he's saying to me, like, you know, he hates working with people from Pakistan, because he's like, those are the bad guys. And I said to him, like, I said, the bad guys, I said, isn't Saudi Arabia one of, you know, America's allies, and they have like a bad human rights record? And basically, it became a conversation of talking to him about like politics and like American foreign policies, and talking about Iran-Contra and all kind of stuff. And then I'm speaking to him about this. I'm speaking to him about America bombing people and stuff like this. And he says to me, what about you guys? He started pointing at me. He said, what about you guys? What about Africa? What about people killing people in Africa? And that was like right before the Bill Clinton thing, when Bill Clinton had said, asked the same question. And I found it interesting that those two different white people draw to those same conclusions, that to that same like act of racism, when being confronted about, you know, racism. And my question is also, I wanted to get some feedback on, like, what should be the code if like foreign policy comes up at your job.
My code on that would probably be pretty quick. I don't know enough about it because I just wouldn't be interested in having any sort of conversation or dialogue with a white person about politics on the job. I'd be of the opinion that they would probably just be trying to find out more information about me, what my political leanings are, and how they can use that against me. So I would probably not be willing to venture, have any sort of discussion like that on the job. I would just be, I don't know enough about what you're talking about. I had to take some more time to investigate. And if anything, what do you think? So that I can give them as much room or time as they would like to talk about the subject themselves. I would have no problem with that, but I wouldn't be giving them a whole lot of information in terms of what I thought.
I agree with that. I try to stay away from any conversations, religious, political, the news, racism. I do not have discussions with them. If it's not about work, there's no discussion, or it's just high and by. One thing that the sister said that made me really think between her and the previous caller was when she said that before she meets with certain white people, they have to kind of preface her visit So I guess so that she's not further mistreated if they see that she's black and she's coming to do her job. And it just really goes to show how the codification of racism in the system functions so optimally. It was something that just came to me between her and the previous caller. So, in other words, the white person had enough foresight to know that other person you were going to see was a racist, and they wanted to basically touch base with them to let them know, we're sending this black female over there, so don't treat her like you would normally treat a nigga. Let her do her job because it's helping me, let's say. And then the brother that I was speaking before who suggested for the black female to go to the Department of Human Rights for her state in order to try and facilitate resolution to being sexually terrorized, it made me think, you know, just looking at the system holistically, the only reason these departments exist is because they know that this system is completely racist and unjust. Why would you need a human rights department unless you know that you're violating human rights? Why would you need a Department of Justice unless you are violating people's justice, not giving them justice? So, I mean, all of the, just even in the names of their organizations, they're letting you know, nigga, you're not getting nothing. So this department exists to make you think that we're going to give you some sort of reprieve or give you some sort of attempt at seeking justice, but the whole system is rigged before you get in it, and that's why they create these departments to give the false impression, i.e. rhetorical ethic, that there's something being done by the same racist. And it's like, you know, it's like being terrorized, a Jewish person being terrorized by a Nazi and then, you know, having to go to that same Nazi to get justice. It's the most insane system ever, but we've been so inculcated with this is the only way things have been for so long that it just came to me with listening to her speak and the previous black male caller speak as well. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Can I add something real quick too? Because that they have done it too with non-white people. Like, they ask me to get something from a black person, and they'll ask me, you know, do I need, like, I'll be like, no, I can handle it. That's okay. I never have anything against any black person. You know, I'm always okay, like, communicating with them. But for a white person, I'd prefer if, you know what I mean, they work that out before I interact with them. I don't want to go over there and be like, yo, do you work here? or some nonsense.
I agree. But I was just thinking of the pattern of what you were saying, and it just really goes to show that they all know that all of them are racist, and it's basically, I know I'm sending you to another racist, so let me prepare the racist to not be as racist with you so that you can get the job done, which is going to help me do my job. So it's almost like a path of least resistance for you, but in reality, it's to help them when it's all said and done. Again, narcissism. So it was just an observation listening to you speak, but thank you for that further detail. Matter of fact, Gus, you know what that made me think about? Remember just studying slavery, when our ancestors would have to run errands for the slave master, they would have to actually take a note with the slave master's wax seal on it as proof that the master sent them on that errand so that when they came across other white supremacist patty rollers, those patty rollers wouldn't, you know, abuse them or lynch them or something like that because they had this piece of paper from the master letting, you know, the patty roller know, hey, this nigga's on a mission for a white man, so we're not going to really bother him, but we'll be less racist towards him so he can get the job done for his master. It's really, like I said, these jobs are all functioning like plantations on one level or another. It's just how that plantation behavior manifests and the psychological damage it does to the black and non-white people who work under that sort of tyranny.
Yep. Absolutely. Other folks dial in if you have comments, or we did have a question on the table about, I guess, bring politics being brought up on the job. Would you respond? Probably going to be a lot more of that as we get closer to November with the election and all that. But other folks want to answer that question or have anything else they wanted to make sure they got in?
I guess in terms of politics, I never, discuss it because, me personally, I'm not in any of those political parties. You know, like, to me, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, Independent Party, Libertarian Party, and all those parties, none of them have done anything for black folks. So me, myself, I'm not in any of those parties, and you know, I stay out of it. You know, I stay neutral. I stay out of it. When, you know, I never discuss that on the job. You know, if those white folks are in those, because you know, even the whites that are in the Democratic Party, and you might be fooled to think, oh, they might be less racist. They're Democrat. No, that's not the case. Like I always said, it doesn't matter what political party you're in, what college you graduated from, or whatever. White people see you as just a nigger. That's all they see you as. That's my comment.
Yep. That is the size of it, unfortunately. Other folks, comments, if folks wanted to respond to the question or if folks had anything else they wanted to bring up?
I was just going to take his comment a step further to say the only party that exists is the political party of racism, white supremacy, and basically the Democrats might hypothetically be heads and the Republicans might be tails, and you're just tossing up a coin. But every single party that he named, they're all variations of racism, white supremacy, and we're trying to vote for which white supremacist is going to dominate and control us moving forward for the next 4 years.
I agree.
Right on. Didn't hear any policy and procedure today. Again, encourage folks to check that out. If you run across anything, see anything, share, because I think that would be helpful too, just looking at different patterns with regards to either word usage within the actual policy, enforcement of the policy, anything that you see that does not make sense in it. I'm sure there probably even be some things in there that are strange or are confused, because I know on my job they wrote a new wardrobe policy, and it was widely ridiculed. Like, we were just like, this is going to have to be rewritten. This does not make sense. How would this be enforced? Like, it just was it was the source of questions and mockery, because I think there were some grammatical errors in the document as well. But I'm sure if you just take some time to check it out, there will be at least two or three things that stand out that are worthy of question and or further inquiry. So definitely check your policy and procedure, and anything stands out, share. I think that's just a good habit to be in for victims of racism.
I had one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The one that I looked at was the term or the section on at-will employment, and I never read an at-will employment outlined in the way that it's outlined at my company. And some of the stuff that stood out to me was that, of course, they can let you go at any time without notice or without any sort of reason whatsoever. And the flip side of that is that you as an employee could choose to quit at any moment at your own discretion, and you don't have to give them notice either. But the other thing I saw was that the company can choose at any time to demote you or to raise or lower your pay scale at any time whatsoever without any sort of arbitration or anything of that nature whatsoever. And I've never seen that written into any at-will policy, because when you look at an at-will policy in general, all it is broad discretion. And it's that plantation thing. You know, well, we just don't want you around here. And that's it. No real reason. You know, they don't have to give it. So they can be as racist as they want to be. But because of that at-will, and you sign that at-will indication in your paperwork, it basically is giving them the ability to use their discretion to mistreat you if they want to fire you in that way. But I've never seen those clauses where it says they can actually change your pay rate or demote you without any sort of notice whatsoever. That's the first time with any other company that I've worked where I've ever seen that pop up. So I just found that interesting. But just the whole concept of at-will employment itself is really discretionary, and it's plantation-based. It's all about domination and control on a psychological level. And that's what I find with just the way the jobs function and the way white people function. They are mind terrorists, and that's just their base function is mind terrorism. And from that, if that doesn't work, it becomes physical aggression or physical terrorism. But, that's the clause that I found. I don't know if anyone else has seen that before, but that's the first time I've seen it in all my years of working, and I've been working for quite a while.
That happens at most jobs in Pennsylvania. It's like, I guess, somewhat of the law. I didn't know when I came from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, so a lot of people told me about it.
so I've heard of it too.
Anybody else? Commentary they wanted to make sure they get in before we get ready to conclude things? Anybody else? I think the caller just dialed in with a hand up. Did you have commentary you were going to share? Or you're just listening? Not hearing him. Not sure if you're just listening or if you had commentary, but I think your line should be open. Anybody else have anything they want to make sure they got in?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had to step away for a minute. I didn't hear what the question was about, the political parties, but I did want to bring up something I've noticed on in my job. Basically, particularly with young white males, anywhere from the early 20s to early 30s, they won't directly state that they're going for Donald Trump, but they are talking really bad about Hillary Clinton. Basically, there's a lot of anti-Hillary Clinton sentiments are being spoken on at my job, and I notice, especially when you get a good number of white males, but again in that same age range, and they're together, man, there's some type of synergy, some type of racist synergy when they're talking. I can kind of hear, overhear these guys. Maybe it'll be a group of two to three, maybe even four white males that are talking about politics. They're probably talking, they're probably just being racist. But I can hear them in the distance.
I put her keys on the counter.
I can hear them talking, and they're real boisterous and loud and very, the energy is, I can hear little bits and pieces of political things or whatever, and then if I walk in a room, that whole thing changes. It's like, okay, all right, let's get on code real quick. There's a black person in the room. All right, I'll not say nothing crazy, but, still, we can still stick to the racist subject, but we're going to codify everything. But a lot of anti-Hillary Clinton sentiments being spoken about, and a lot of that stuff is being posted on social media. But I'm like, why don't you guys just say you're going to vote for Donald Trump? But instead, they just want to talk bad about Hillary Clinton. So, and I know I've said that I thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president, but the more I listen to the cows and the more I, just observe white people, I just may be wrong. That's all I have.
Going to be interesting how it all plays out. Be one to watch. Anybody else that we missed have commentary they wanted to make sure they got in before we wrap up?
My PNP, okay, it's the company will ensure equal employment opportunity to its employees and applicants for employment on the basis of fitness and merit without regard to race, color, religion, national origin, disability, sex, or age. We'll follow this policy in recruitment, hiring, and promotion into all classifications, and with respect to matters of compensation, benefits, transfers, assignments, etc., terminations, layoffs, educational leave, etc. And any employee of such and such who fails to comply with this policy is subject to, this is an interesting word here, is subject to appropriate disciplinary action. That's my submission for this week.
That is fascinating. Wow. That it, even while you were reading it, it reminded me they just had a segment. It was earlier this year where they said companies that have those type of statements like, oh, yeah, racism doesn't live here. We are all about diversity and inclusion. And, you know, we just went to see 12 Years a Slave on our lunch break. So, you know, we are all cool. That the places that specifically like market themselves in that manner, that they are just as bad as everybody else in terms of hiring. Like they did the standard thing where they have identical applications and just one, the person puts on it, you know, I'm African-American or black or whatever. And the other one, they put that they're white. The white people got way more callbacks. And this was identical resume, all that. They did that, and they found it was no difference. The people that had that real bold had that on their T-shirts, diversity, blah, blah, blah. And the people that didn't, no difference at all. They do the exact same thing when it comes to hiring and who's going to get the job. That was the first thing I thought about. And then they didn't say we take this seriously. They didn't say immediate termination, whatever they deem to be appropriate, which also sounds like it's going to be discretion, where a white person will be making a decision that if it comes up that we are not into equality and all this rhetorical ethic that we've been sprouting, we'll make a decision about what should be done. Sensitivity training, or we'll have Jane Elliott. We'll spend $10,000 to get Jane Elliott to come in here and talk to us for a day or two. And that'll solve. I mean, standard operating procedure. They generally cover their bases very well.
Exactly. Thanks for that.
I assume everybody is satisfied. We got everybody who had something they wanted to share.
Quick question. I want to know, like, say for instance, you file a complaint with the office, human resource or whatever, and then they ask you, like, do you think this person is being racist?
That's the act to me before, and I immediately said no. And
again, this was way before I was codified. I immediately said no, or I think I said I don't know, or I'm unsure.
But I was quick with my answer. I thought that the person was being racist, but I knew better than to say it to someone who could be potentially a racist. So what would someone suggest, like, if that was ever come up again?
That would be what I would recommend. Any of those, I think, would be acceptable. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's why we're doing an inquiry to get more information, and then folks can come to a determination about that once they have more information. But I don't know. I'm just reporting. And I wouldn't even use the word complaint. I'm just making a report that there is an issue that needs to be addressed, that it looks like there's something incorrect that's happening that should be addressed. And, you know, if racism is involved, then I'm sure we'll find that out once we get more details. That's the way that I would generally approach it. I would never in a workplace situation would I say, oh, yeah, Susan is racist or Susan was practicing racism. I would not say that under any circumstances, because then they will shift things to you and probably have some crying white people and, you know, Tim Wise books and I Marched with Dr. King and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. So I would never on a job indict a white person and say, oh, yeah, I think this person was racist. They were practicing racism. I would just there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And if they were practicing racism, that'll come out in the investigation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I assume folks are good. We will be here same time next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for workplace racism. As I've said consistently, if you don't want to chime in on the phone, but you're more comfortable writing, feel free. You can drop us an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. And you can write up if it's a problem, if it's an observation, if it's a portion from your policy and procedure, whatever it happens to be. If you want to share something, just drop an email. We can read it and keep you anonymous if, you know, you have concerns about being identified or what have you. But we should be here tomorrow. Medical apartheid segment number 10. We are closing on the finish line. It has just been a phenomenal book. So much just painful, but I think just information that every single black person who says they're serious about racism, you should read this book. We'll be here tomorrow, session 10, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The compensatory call-in will be on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Looking forward to catching up news, observations, past 7 days on the plantation. We should have multiple guests on the program next week from the area of the world known as Canada, discussing the evolution, history of racism, white supremacy in that part of the world. Just stay tuned. You'll get all of the dates and times. I think everything is normal broadcast time. There might be one or two because some of the portions of Canada are so far east that they actually are an hour later, or I guess they're an hour ahead of East Coast time. So like right now it's 11 p.m. East Coast time. I think there are portions of Canada where right now it's actually midnight. So I think one of those we might be on like an hour or two earlier just because of the time difference is a bit much for some of the areas. But all of that will be clarified as we roll for next week. If you have any confusion, if you can't find an archive, if you have a guest suggestion, if you're confused about something that was brought up on the program, if you have a gripe, if you are disgruntled about something on the program, feel free, drop an email. UntilJustice@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter at UntilJustice. Certainly, you can use Facebook as well. I check that. You can use the Facebook group page or my page on Facebook. Any of the will work. With that, as I said, we'll be here in 24 hours. Summertime now. Same codification that I have been encouraging for a while now. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We do not want to make the job of the Daniel Holtzclaws and Darren Wilsons any easier. If you are going to be in an automobile as a driver, passenger, even as a pedestrian, you do not want to be under the influence. We want to be in position to make phenomenal decisions to keep ourselves as safe as possible, as well as anybody that we might be responsible for. Certainly, white people, alcohol, too. Of the worst things you can combine in the known universe. Keep that in mind all summer long as you're going out to frolic and do whatever. Buckle up if you're going to be in a vehicle as well. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with enforcement officers, race soldiers. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.